all hell broke loose, and everyone that played high stakes was like, that's why I've been losing like $500,000.
Right, so it's not just like, oh, fuck the dealer, the unlucky dealer. Like, wait a minute, this is realistically set up against me.
No, it wasn't set up. It was there's certain people, certain accounts that can see your hole cards.
Why?
There was just a thing in the software.
A glitch?
It wasn't. I don't think it was a glitch. I think it was set up that way.
I limit the straddles and we shuffle and deal. When will the deal reveal how he feels? The lucky beginner, just a five card stud. Is this winning streak going to be nipped in the bud? I'll see you. I'll call you. I'll raise you. But it's no cheap thrill. It'll cost you. Cost you. Cost you.
Did I what?
Did you go on a safari?
No, but how do you turn that off?
Well, I'm not sure. I don't know what you did. There you go.
Oh, there we go.
I don't even know what you just did.
I just hit off. I hit an off button.
I don't think that's even the off button. I think you...
I just found another button.
I don't know what you... Oh, it is off.
That's an off button.
Oh, dope.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, episode 138. I just got back from Australia, from Melbourne. Matt Edgar's picking me up.
That's right.
Give me a ride back. What was your question? Did I go on safari? No. I did see, though, a possum. Their possums are way cuter than ours. They're more like raccoons, but they're way more vicious. I got super scared they were going to attack me.
Where did you see one at?
Just walking.
And you know it was a possum?
Yeah, well, they told me about the possums and it was climbing a tree.
Oh, but did they tell you that... Watch out for these possums?
No. All they told me about was this girl Kylie told me about these certain type of birds that in just one area will swoop down and attack people's hair.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, would they go for the eyes?
Well, you got nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
They come to that slim pickings up there.
Yeah. Guys, unless it's like wintertime, there's no reason to be coming with this hair. Yeah, but she said they wouldn't go for the eyes, but I didn't believe her because if I was a bird, I would go for the eyes.
Yeah, of course, man.
That's your one. You gotta. If once you take that out, then you've got a chance.
That really is the. That's at least my biggest weakness.
Yeah.
If I can't see.
And so he said the same thing about the possums. They wouldn't really attack a person, but I still think he would.
And they're just cuter. What makes them cuter?
They don't have those horrible. Well, they're less disgusting than our possums.
Okay.
They're
okay.
Gross.
So they're not cute, but they're just
less horrifying.
Less horrifying.
Yeah, but they're kind of chunky, and they jump onto like the base of a tree and climb up a little.
And that's
cool.
All you saw? You went to Australia and you're just all you saw was a possum?
No, I mean, I saw that 2 days ago.
You didn't see any kind of out of the ordinary wildlife that you're not used to?
Yeah, they had these weird birds with long crane necks. And
so was it a crane?
It wasn't a crane.
No. Sounds like Australia is just like LA.
I was just hanging out at the airport.
Yeah, where
2 weeks.
Have you really been?
Watching videos about yeah, I was serious. Community made it
how was the flight?
Flight was cool, normal. The way there is easy. You sleep for 8 hours, mm-hmm. and then you're there. The way back, it's a little harder. But this dude kept waking me up.
Why?
He was just some fucking Australian. He wanted to talk, and everyone was sleeping. And he kept like making loud. He kept like, let me tell you a story. And he would like
shut
slam
up
on like the overhead and stuff. People were like, shh.
Just now?
Yeah, and his wife was like, shh, quiet.
No way.
And he kept saying we should hang out. And I was like, yeah, I don't know, man. He's like 55-year-old. His daughter works for the airline.
His wife kept on telling him to be quiet?
Yeah, it was like everyone was sleeping, but she was also laughing. It was just like one of those, I don't know. Here's what I learned about Australia. They're way less fat than us.
Oh, yeah.
We're way fatter than they are.
They're always out there...
Working. Yeah. I ate kangaroo.
You ate a kangaroo?
Not a whole one, but kangaroo, like steak.
How was it?
It was delicious.
Really?
Lean? Yeah. I almost had some in Chinese food the day before, and I regretted not getting it. Then I went out to get kangaroo. It was really good. What have you been doing? How's the apartment been?
Apartment's great. It's all cleaned up for you. I cleaned the sheets yesterday. You have nothing to worry about.
Oh, thanks.
Nothing
thanks
at all.
I like last time. You're like, there's...
We better clean the sheets.
There's semen on there.
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to beat around the bush.
It's
here,
worst case scenario.
No, I made sure it's clean. I actually cleaned the apartment last night, so it's freshly clean.
Yeah.
Nice. The worst thing I did. Okay.
You started piling up trash, I noticed, by the stove.
No, that's not trash. Those are recyclables.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's just... And I, you know what? Now that I think about it, they're still there. I forgot to take those out.
Okay.
So there's some recyclables. I'll get rid of that.
I think this will be the last time I'll be here until January. I think it's going to be yours for a month.
Now,
2 months.
Is it, though? Because how's it... Aren't you paying for... aren't they paying you the big sum come November 1st? Was that
they said, but I still haven't gotten any
you
word.
You haven't heard anything
no.
from them?
Uh-uh.
What the fuck? Dude, I
just heard they said they were, you know, November 1st, but I have no idea.
Dude, I don't think they're doing it.
Yeah, me neither. I
have
no idea.
At all
Until
happening.
Until it's happening, I don't know if it's happening.
No, dude, this is just going to be your
So, yeah, I'll
place.
Just be there for pilot season. I'll just be the bi-coastal that I set out to be.
Dope.
Yeah.
So. Is it cool if we swap pilot season?
Yeah. You still want to go out there?
Hell,
you
got to
be
yeah.
way more careful about foodstuffs and garbage over there.
Why?
I'm super scared of rats and bugs there.
Oh, okay. No,
so,
I'm
I mean,
fine.
I, when I take out or when I do, I take it out that night.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't even go to sleep. I just take it out.
Yeah, I'll make sure. I'll leave no traces.
All right. Well, yeah, then you can use it.
Fuck yeah, dude.
I think Yusuf might share it with you, too, a couple times.
Oh, hell yeah. That'd be dope.
So on today's episode of Skeptic Tank.
who do you have?
Professional poker player named JC Alvarado.
I like how you cross worlds on your podcast.
Yeah.
How you have comedians, sometimes, I mean, a poker player, I've never heard that.
Yeah,
you.
I got a street artist in Melbourne.
You had a street artist.
Yeah.
So you did some work out there.
Did a couple of them, yeah. I talked to Will Anderson, he's a comedian out there. And then I also talked to the street artist. I just saw him painting on a fucking spray can.
And
I was like,
cool?
Hey, dude, want to do a podcast?
No shit, and he was just down right there?
Yeah, he was okay with it.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
Remember when you had a, didn't you have a hooker on one time?
Yeah,
or?
Prostituti Fruity.
Prostituti Fruity.
Episode 40, I think. Should have been episode 69.
That's an innovative podcast, man.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can find someone on the way to your apartment.
Some hooker?
Anything.
Someone shooting up heroin, whatever. So we talked about Black Friday and when they made illegal poker in the United States online.
Oh, right.
And then how all those poker sites went under by like embezzling all their money, all the players' money, and not giving any of it back.
Dark ages for poker.
Yeah, it was dark ages. It was the fucking bright ages right beforehand. It was becoming bigger than ever.
Big boom. What years are you talking?
This is like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, I remember that.
The World Series, at first it was the main event. Prize was $1 million for a long time. Then it got to $12 million. It just kept growing and growing as it would grow. And they made it illegal online because those other countries weren't paying American taxes.
Oh.
Even though they were operating out of another country, but we're like, no, we want our fucking money. And they're like, well, we're not an American business.
Yeah.
Just Americans going to us.
Like, that's a
give
weird
us our
one.
Fucking money or you're going out.
And America, out. Man.
America.
Taking what is ours.
Yeah, so it's cool. We did it from the beach in Cabo, Los Cabos, Mexico.
Oh, sick.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he said he heard ours that we did from Joshua Tree, too.
No shit.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah, I still got to think this might be one of the only ones.
It's like the only thing I get recognized for is Shroom Fest.
Yeah, nice. Well, I got a couple dates to promote real quick. St. Louis at November with Joey Diaz. Boston, Thanksgiving weekend by myself. Austin, Texas. What month are we in now? October?
I'm doing
November. It's November 13th through 16th. That's in Austin. All those dates are in. Oh, and then I have a storyteller show in New York, November 14th.
Who's on?
We don't know yet.
Oh.
Comedy Central's trying to help me book some big people.
Oh, sick.
So, yeah. So, they're making it a free show, but they're letting me get my fans in early. So, I'll post the link for it. It's going to be at Webster Hall, I think. I'm going to post a link for it on my site, and there'll be a code to get in first for all my fans. I think the code is season 2.
That's the code?
I think so. Season the number 2. But I'll post a link for it on my site. And all my dates are on my site, so please go to them there. I'm thinking I might go to, what's it called, on the way back from Switzerland, too.
Where's that?
Amsterdam.
Oh, hell yeah.
Right?
I heard
I'm
you talking about
there.
That.
I'm already
yeah.
over there. I may as well go.
And you have not been?
No. First hand, test out the weed situation there, what it's really
test
like.
Test out the weed, test out the women.
Just 3 or 4 days? Yeah, maybe. Yeah, almost definitely. Yeah, 3 or 4 days, something like that.
That's sick, dude.
Yeah. Oh, I should talk about this festival. Did you hear anything about it?
Which one?
The Montreal Comedy Festival.
Montreal.
Montreux. It's in Switzerland. They're flying five people out to Montreux, Switzerland for 5 days or
really?
4 days.
Are you on that?
Yeah, I'm like the ambassador, but I asked them about it.
There's the ambassador?
Something like that. They're paying me to go there, to go out there, but like the festival itself is totally legit. They're just paying people's flight.
Who's all going,
and hotel.
You know?
I don't know. They're choosing five people. So you have like 3 days left. You have to submit by Halloween. Any 5-minute set.
Really?
Yeah, I said it could be multiple sets put together. It could be dirty, could be clean. They don't give a fuck.
Multiple sets put together so you could
just
splice
in. Yeah, you could have a 2-minute set from that, a 1-minute set from that.
Wow.
Like, just give up to 5 minutes.
Just the greatest hits.
Yeah, just like give us some stuff and we're going to choose five people to go. And they're making some contests, but really it's just like everyone here is one. You're in Switzerland.
What are your dream other four people to go with you?
No, it's five other people.
Oh, it's five. So it's six people going.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Depends who's like submits and stuff.
How dope would that be if it was like Diaz?
Oh yeah, that'd be cool. In Switzerland, Joey Diaz trying to ski.
Oh my god!
Wow, oh skiing cocksucker, you're no danger.
Just freaking everyone on the slopes out.
Yeah, yeah. Man, Australia was so much like America.
Except you said that they weren't as fat.
Not as fat.
Yeah.
Not as fat. And a lot of the chicks wore bikini tops as bras.
Oh,
especially in Sydney.
Man, I love that.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
I really appreciate when women do that.
Yeah. I went to Bondi Beach twice.
Where?
Bondi Beach.
What's that?
Some famous beach in Sydney.
Sick.
Yeah.
Did you go in the water?
Yeah, it was...
Because it's like summertime right now.
No, but it's going into summertime, so it was pretty fucking cold. In Cabo, it was super warm.
Yeah.
But here, it was pretty cold. But I still went in a bunch. I tried boogie boarding. I caught one wave.
You got a wave.
I got one. I was like, I did it.
Did you wear a wetsuit?
No.
Oh, you just went, oh, you're talking about
just
in Cabo.
Body boarding. No, in Australia.
In Australia.
Yeah.
So you just endured the cold.
Yeah, it was cold. That's and then I got out there way too far once, and I heard them like whistling. I was like, oh, Jesus. And then I was paddling back for a while, and I was like, I'm still not any closer.
Ooh.
I was like starting to get a little worried.
What's that tide call? The
Riptide?
Is that what it is?
Undertow?
Ah, fuck.
Hey,
one of those.
Are we going to eat breakfast?
Yeah, I want to.
Where are we going?
Ooh.
Where can you go? I just want to get a bunch of bacon. Kangaroo is good.
Let's find some kangaroo. Let's find a good kangaroo joint out here.
Where can you eat? Right. Dude, they have these things called Tim Tams that are so fucking good. It's this like chocolatey, cookie-y.
What? So it's a cookie?
No, it's like chocolate with cream on the inside. The most
it's
delicious cream.
It's just a chunk of chocolate with
cream.
Yeah,
but no,
inside.
But it's got a wafer, but it's not like a regular wafer. It's like made out of cream wafer. It's so good. It's probably gluten-free.
Oh, and you could chew. It's probably a little bit crunchy with that wafer.
Yeah, it's not gluten-free. I'm sure it's not gluten-free.
You know what though? I'm back in the
you got to have one of these Tim Tams, man. They're
I'm
so
back
good.
In the world of gluten.
After you get high, they're so good. And the cream is like
after you get high, it's so good.
Yeah. It's like the milk is made from like a breast milk of a 24-year-old woman in a good relationship.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Yeah.
That's a great selling point, by
yeah.
the way.
Like loving. Yeah, all right, I got to give you one. And my tolerance went down finally. After 2 weeks
oh,
there.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, about 10 days in, I started getting high off the Australian weed.
Nice.
Yeah,
oh, it wasn't working at first?
No. I'd have to smoke a lot of it.
Really?
And the Australians were really cool about giving me some. Like, I kept getting more and more. Kylie gave me some, the one that worried me about the birds.
So are they just not getting as high out there? Is that what's happening?
Nothing comes over from California there. It's a big island.
Yeah.
Nothing comes from anywhere else. It's just like you have to fly it in or boat it in. Otherwise they grow their own.
What other do they have, like mushrooms up there? Or?
Yeah, I did a little bit of mushrooms.
Did you?
Just like a cap and a stem.
Oh no, I did that
split
the other night.
Up with a few people.
That's so where were you when that happened? Like were you in a
Fitzroy in Melbourne?
Okay.
This cool bar area. This dude kept pointing out all the people in costumes. It was like a hipster neighborhood. He's like, look at that hipster with a cape. I'm like, dude, that's a costume. He's like, nah, it's a hipster. And I kept imagining all these costumes as hipsters, and they would all fit as hipsters. Someone was dressed as Wonder Woman. It's like, fucking hipster.
You know, like somebody that's like that really hipstered out, it does kind of look
yeah.
like a costume.
Yeah. Have you seen accidentalchinesehipster.com? It's just pictures of Chinese people dressed awful.
Yeah.
But if you imagine them as hipsters doing it on purpose.
Great.
Yeah, it looks amazing. Striped pants, you know? It's just like shit they found in a bin.
I like that exists.
Yeah. So anyway, do you have anything to promote real quick?
I mean, I'm in La Jolla Comedy Store next week. I don't know when this comes out, though.
This will be by now. This will be today.
Oh, hell yeah.
So when are you in La Jolla?
La Jolla Comedy Store, the
San Diego.
1st and 2nd of November.
With
Workaholics Eric Griffin.
Oh, that's cool.
So
that'll be a fun one. He taped a CD down there, didn't he?
He did. That's what I, last time we went down there, that's what he did.
Oh, really?
This time cool. It's just...
Just for fun.
Yep. And tickets are going to go.
All right. So you see you and Eric Griffin.
That's right. That's right. Eric Griffin. Oh, and Amir K.
Oh.
Which is awesome.
Oh.
That is awesome.
Really?
You just don't know who he is. That's why I didn't say anything.
Oh.
But he's a good comedian. Very
funny.
Does
he still do that fake accent on stage?
No. No, I mean, dude, I mean, you probably saw Amir K years ago, and still
inside a year ago, the night that Jeff Dye and Tony got into a fight. How long was that?
That was a long ass time ago.
How long ago?
I don't know. Amir K is a great comedian, though.
Okay.
He's not doing accents.
I just wish he
unless it's
the
like
accent.
A character he jumps into.
No, he says it's a character, but he's really just doing an accent. So they
okay,
laugh at
you know
foreigner.
What? There was a time when he was going up there doing that, and that was years ago.
Okay.
Not with. I mean, now he has solid joke. He's a funny dude, bro.
All right.
Very funny.
All right. I'll
anyways, that's what's going on in a week.
All right. Cool. Well. All right. Here we go. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank. Episode, I think, 138. Black Friday with JC Alvarado.
Hell yeah. Oh,
have you heard the new Arcade Fire yet?
Just the Reflector.
Just that song?
Just that song.
Oh, dude, I listened to the whole thing on the way back.
Oh,
it's,
tell me.
I listened to it all once.
Yeah.
It was great. But
yeah.
Then I fell asleep,
uh-huh.
Like, pretty early on. Because you know it does that to you.
Sure.
It's kind of like... And they have a hidden track that just gets you in the mood for 10 minutes. And then it starts with a Reflector.
Really?
Yeah, it just shows kind of the instruments they're going to play and shit. So I was asleep for most of it, so I didn't hear it consciously, but my subconscious heard it. So then I listened to it again, and I liked it. Then I got a Jolly Rancher kicked in hard, and I listened to it two more times, and my thoughts went crazy all over the place listening to it. I would, like, come back to reality.
And
I was
that's
like, oh,
what
my
a,
God.
That's what a good album does.
Yeah, man.
It puts
so
you
much
to
music.
Sleep the first time, but then your subconscious picks up if it's good enough.
It was great. Into the Night, or whatever that song is about, the night. Here Comes the Night Again or something. That's a great
dude,
fucking song.
Get this, dude.
What?
Okay, I don't even know the name of the band that they're posing at, but this is something that they're doing right now.
What?
This is how big Arcade Fire is.
Yeah.
All right, so I guess...
they're going as their own opener, aren't they?
Well, if you buy their album, you get a... I guess you get an opportunity to buy tickets to
any one
show. But do you know what...
And they have it at the Palladium.
Yeah, yeah, but do you know... They're not going as Arcade Fire. They're going as some other band name.
As Reflectors?
I think so, yeah. I think that's what they're calling it.
And so then what are they doing?
The Reflectors...
I thought they were just opening for Arcade Fire. Their own weirdo band is opening for Arcade Fire.
You know what? From what I understand, they're going as Reflectors because it's a hidden show. So people, it's going to look like they're going to put a sign up there that says the Reflectors, and no one's going to buy tickets because they don't know what that is.
It's already sold out.
It's sold out in minutes.
Yeah, it's sold out in minutes. And they told all their fans, like, this is the show we're going to.
Well, yeah, if you bought the album, you know this.
Damn it. And you get to go to one show, so anywhere you get two tickets.
You get to buy two tickets. Yeah, you can only buy two tickets, yeah.
So somebody gave me their code, but then he was like, oh, wait, they might come to Vancouver. I want my thing back. I was like, all right.
Aw.
Yeah. But it's fine. But Yusuf tried to get him the next day when they went on sale, and he said couldn't get shit.
There's no way.
Halloween at the Palladium.
Yeah.
Indoors.
Yeah.
Arcade Fire. How cool would that be?
At the Palladium, which is not the biggest place.
No, it's pretty small.
It's way small for Arcade Fire. And
yeah.
Look, it's one thing to sell out the Palladium as whatever group you are.
Yeah.
But to do it as some fake group.
They weren't really doing it as a fake group.
Well, it's like an inside...
It said Reflectors and Arcade Fire.
It's an inside thing. Oh, it says and Arcade Fire?
Yeah,
It says and Arcade Fire.
On Songkick and the other app, too.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's...
I know, Green Day used to do that near Berkeley. When they wanted to play it in Berkeley, they would just play as a fake band.
So that shit's dope, dude.
Yeah, that is dope.
I just
dope.
Think that is so cool. And a few people know about it, you know?
Like Kinnison coming in late night at this comedy store, coming in at 1 o'clock.
I wonder
like,
if
cool
late
know.
Night was sold out back then. If
I think it was because he knew it was coming. He might be coming, so people went at midnight, hoping.
That would be
dope. They tried to do that again, but they kept booking like random other people in it. Anyway, whatever. Should I play you that song?
Yeah, I'd love that.
All right, then I'll do the outro. I'll play you the song. Let's go eat, though, too.
Dope.
Okay, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 138. Black Friday with JC Alvarado. Here we go. When Black Friday comes, I'm gonna dig myself a hole. Yeah, the Bushwick one, we just start. I'll do intros later. But the Bushwick one, he had all these little black kids coming up going, "Oh, you and microphones, can I talk?" And they'd be like, "Hello, America." And I'm like, "You're not even, do you even know what you're doing?" The only thing is with these, just try to talk like into it.
Okay. Do you want to get a water before?
Yeah, sure.
Or a beer? There's beer in there.
You want one?
Yeah, I'll get a beer.
An Indio?
Yep. This is the legit Mexican beer that no one
really
ever knows.
I'll have it.
People are drinking Corona, and that's like the shit beer.
What is that? Here, put this up here. Oh, but
oh, this is recording already.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry. The beginnings always go weird.
Yeah, India is the way to go in Mexico.
Why? That's what they said in Australia. Like, nobody has Foster's. No beer has. No bar has it.
Yeah, it's like the U.S. has great beers, but, you know, all you see down here is, like, Budweiser and shit. Like, that's what's considered a U.S.
Mm-hmm.
beer. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me open what's up with that? Why don't they have more, is it more expensive?
Yeah, I guess just advertising comes down to that.
Oh. No, but I mean, why don't the indie places like Indio come up here? Or no, and why do we only have Budweiser here? Why don't you have, like, local beers here?
I mean, distribution? I don't know.
Oh, God.
It costs a lot of money.
It costs a lot of money?
Yeah.
Is that your girlfriend?
Yeah.
Oh, she looked different. Because she has no clothes on, that's why. I was like, wait a minute. yeah, this is cool, man. How often do you come here to Cabo?
Never, actually. I used to come all the time because, my family, my dad's side of the family is from here. But, I'm not really in touch with them. So, yeah, I used to come, like, every summer.
Why?
And then, like...
See the kind of Mexican that beats people?
Huh?
See the kind of Mexican that beats people?
No, but... just, never grew up with my dad, so... Just yeah. For, like, I'd come during summers, and then it kind of, you know, became, like, once every 2 years, and then...
Oh, yeah. That's how I'm with my home, too. I barely ever go over there. Like, once a year, once every... The last time was, like, almost 2 years, and they're like, "Where have you been?" And I'm like, I just get busy.
Yeah.
I just, unless I plan a trip somewhere. Plus, I don't know how you do it with poker, but, like, I have trouble going on vacations if it's not paid for.
Well, once you're traveling so much for work.
Yeah, the idea of travel.
Vacation is being at home.
Yeah.
At least in my mind. Like, being able to spend a month at home is way more enjoyable than like, going to a, you know, just a pure,
yeah.
pure vacation.
Yeah. Just
and
having time.
I mean,
time.
I don't get paid for, like, you know, I don't get my travel paid for. Like, it's still...
Oh, you don't, huh?
Well, no, I used to when I was sponsored, but like now it's, you know, it's a part of expenses. Like, I got to take that in, like the buy-in. So there's a, you know, I have to see how much there is in buy-ins I'm playing in a certain trip and whether or not the cost of that trip.
How many buy-ins are going to be there?
Like, no, so.
How much your buy-in is?
So there's a tournament series, right?
Okay.
And there's one main event and then there's like. You know,
bunch of side events.
X amount of side events.
Yeah.
You have to kind of factor all of that into it before you make a decision about whether or not it's...
Oh, yeah. Like, if the buy-in's fucking $1,000 and then travel's $2,000, yeah, you're like, hold on.
You're not going to make that much. You're not going to make it back.
Yeah.
It's a losing...
Top prize is $4,000. You're like, wait a minute. Like, what am I going to do here?
Exactly.
Yeah. How long have you been playing poker?
9 years, I guess, now. Almost 10.
9 years at all or professionally?
Professionally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, so 10 years, you've had a weirdo job.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because, you know, I was a teenager when I started.
Oh, really?
So,
how old?
19.
Did you get started online and then just, like, start going to live tournaments and stuff?
Yeah, I started online and then I couldn't play live for another 2 years.
Because you weren't allowed legally?
I wasn't allowed legally. So, like, I lived in L.A. for a while, so I'd go to Casino Morongo, that Indian reservation, like, a couple hours away.
Did they let 19-year-olds in?
Yeah, that's the only place where I could play.
Indians don't give a fuck.
Yeah. And it was awful. I mean, live poker is just shit.
Why?
Overall.
That's almost all what I play.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's more fun. It's way more fun, but it's just more miserable. Like, you have to be around...
Degens.
Yeah.
They're all degens.
Exactly. Like, the commerce crowd.
Yeah.
Like, spend a month... I've spent literally over a month at commerce.
What, like, playing in the room. Season long or whatever?
Well, yeah. I just rent a room at that hotel, and then just, like...
Plaza or whatever.
Yeah, the Crown Plaza. And I'd stay there for, you know, I'd sleep 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and then play all night long with these degenerates, like all the Armenians and all the...
Tons of Armenians that come in there.
All the Vietnamese guys.
We're going to skip around a lot, but as long as we've gotten to this, what's the worst race to play with and against? I say Armenians. They're up there. I mean, Asians, obviously.
The worst is in most annoying or most difficult?
Most annoying. I mean, no. If I sit down and when I play commerce, usually I'll play cash games, 100, 200, or sometimes tournaments. But, like, if I sit down at a cash game, even limit, and if I see 8 other Asians at the table, I'm like, table change, please. Like, there's no reason to enter into a harder situation. If I see 4 Mexicans, 3 old white men, and 2 others, I'm like, yeah, get me in there. Get me there.
I don't mind the Asian players. I have fun with them.
Really?
Yeah, I think the ones that annoy me the most... God, it depends. It's a hard question.
The Armos, like, are awful.
Like, Brazilians are the fucking, like, the most annoying people, because they, like, celebrate in your face. Like, I have friends, like, tons of Brazilian friends, but they'll just scream, like, every time, like, especially in tournaments, you know, there's...
Oh, yeah, bet.
You're at a final table with Brazilians, that's, like, the last thing you want.
Oh, yeah, they all go nuts, huh?
And they're just gonna soccer chant in your face.
What about Australians? They're like that, too.
Yeah, but they're not as annoying.
In UFC fans, there's 2 that are, like, the most annoying, and it's Brazilians and Hawaiians.
Hawaiians?
Yeah. When they come out and support their guy, Pit Pen or whoever else, they always fight.
Well, yeah, they like to
fight.
And
they're drunk.
Yeah.
Canadians come and support GSP and stuff, but they're well-mannered people. Their fans are like, well, you know, it's great competition regardless.
What about the British?
I haven't really seen them in droves come out. They don't really support in droves.
In poker, they're crazy too.
Really?
Yeah, they've been famous for, like, throwing shoes at the final table and shit.
What do you mean at it?
Like, yeah, like at it, like from the stands.
To throw shoes to get in there?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, they're pretty crazy.
Yeah, Brazilians. I think it's Armos. The way they get. Yeah, the way they don't just take a beat. They just go, what do you think, bud? You think I don't have a skin? You think I don't have a skin? Like, shut your fucking mouth.
Yes.
I mean, I clearly thought you didn't have a skin.
And that sense of annoying, yes. They are, like, them Israelis.
Oh, Israelis.
Yeah, they're very, like, they can't beat you a hand without talking shit.
Yeah,
like,
and they can lose 19 straight hands, but then it's that bravado. As soon as they win one, they're like, yeah. What do you think? And you're like, dude, I have 90% of your money.
Yeah, I don't get that as much anymore because I haven't played on at commerce. Like, I play in Europe mostly. So in Europe, it's, you know, sometimes Russians talk shit.
Yeah.
But I don't get those commerce types.
Yeah. Commerce bat. Hollywood Park is okay.
Is it? I've never been there.
They have decent tournaments, like $200 tournaments. They have, like, the structure is, like, it rewards patience.
Yeah.
Which I like. I don't like tournaments that are, like, hurry up, get in.
Turbo?
Yeah, the turbo's like, they're fun, like, online. We're like, all right, come on, I don't have time, let's get a tournament in.
Yeah.
But they're not, like, I don't know, I don't think it rewards.
No, it's not the most skillful of poker.
It just rewards, like, clear aggression.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I have trouble with. Caparulo taught me how to play, John Caparulo. He brought me and Renazisi, and we knew how to play cards, you know? But he taught us to, like, come down and, like, play limit. He was like, give star 2-4.
Yeah.
And just, like, learn the game.
Yeah.
And then move up from there. But he would always talk about how when the Armos come in or when he just wants to, like, just to retaliate, he wants to push over someone's chip stack. Just very lightly, just knock it down.
It's a common thing, actually.
What, to knock chip stacks down?
I've seen it a lot, yes.
Just, like, fuck you, like, clean it up.
I mean, I've seen people, like, you know, do way worse, like throw a full glass
really?
Of whatever they're drinking at the dealer's face. Oh. I've heard stories about dudes pissing on dealers. Like, and like, you know, they get bad beated. Especially back in the old days where, like, when, like, Stu Unger used to play. That guy used to, like, spit on people and shit.
Like, really?
Those guys. Yeah, the dealer abuse was crazy. And I see it, you know.
And it's like they blame him. It's just a weird luck situation where, like, that's not, there's nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Those cards were there. Those cards were already there.
And in rationalize in the queue. They rationalize it, too. Like, like, they'll go, like, oh, it's always this dealer.
Oh, no, right.
It's not always that dealer.
You're just noticing the bad beats.
You just suck.
Yeah.
Like, you suck. You don't understand how to play.
I had to tell my friend Lawrence that. He's always like, I'm so unlucky, so unlucky. I'm like, just keeps not working out for you, and you keep coming back?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you're willing to say that luck is against you, then you shouldn't come here anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's hard as a professional because you want to defend the dealer, but also, at the same time, you know that keeping that retard in is what makes you money. So there's, like, a direct conflict there where you just, you can't say much. You got, settle down, but,
yeah.
But you all can't right, be like, come. Hey, can you get this guy off the table?
No, you don't want him off the table. No. There's still money to be had.
Yeah.
I read that guy, who's that guy who wrote those little blue book, little red book?
Phil Gordon,
yeah.
Piece of shit.
You don't like him?
No, he's an asshole.
Why?
Eh.
He's just rude to people?
No, he's no one likes him, I don't think.
Oh.
And he was part of the Full Tilt guys that sort of disappeared after all that money left. Like, I haven't seen him or heard from him.
Let's talk about Full Tilt for a second, but here's what I was going to say about him. Was he said that there was some story of some guy just, like, losing money left and right to a table at a cash game.
Okay.
Just to everybody. And then one of his buddies was like, dude, you can't be playing, like, 10 deuce offsuit, bro. And then he said it to somebody. He's like, but that's why you're losing. It's not a bad beat. You're playing shitty cards. And then his friend was like, hey, don't tap the glass.
Yeah.
Like, don't scare the fish.
Yeah.
There's no reason to tell them that until they're, like, leaving.
Yeah.
How much of that is there where you're like, no, oh, man, you should have won that hand. That's terrible what happened to you.
Yeah, it's like the first rule you learn is don't tap the glass. But people do it all the time. It's like a weird ego thing where,
ego.
So you lose a hand against, like, it still happens to me after, you know, 9-10 years where I lose a hand where the guy played it like shit, and it takes, like, all my willpower to not be like,
yeah,
like, are you fucking stupid?
Why? Because he,
like,
thinks he's better than you, right?
Yeah,
that's what you want to, like,
you get
know.
That, you get that, like smirk of satisfaction of I got you, and you know they played it like an idiot.
Yeah, and they just got super lucky.
Yeah, so you can't say anything, but people do all the time because they can't, like, they can't show that self-restraint to not be like, oh, good play, buddy. Good, like, it's always passive-aggressive, too. It's always, like, nice hand. Or well played. You played that real well.
To,
like,
the fish.
It's never, like...
To the fish, you say that? You're like,
it's never, it's never, like, straightforward. What are you doing? Why did you play the hand?
And then,
like,
do you look at your other buddies to, like, someone back me up with a look or something?
No. Like, not at this level anymore. Like, maybe if someone just totally misplays a hand, we'll, like, glance at each other and smirk and try not to make it obvious, but that's about it. Like, if you get to a point where you're, you know, laughing at people, that's just bad etiquette.
Yeah, we had a table once where it was I mean, there is a special thing to, they don't really teach us in poker books that I know, but on paydays, on the other second Friday of the month, the drunk Mexicans and black people that come in to, like, Hollywood Park, especially Hollywood Park, it's more degens there, and they will complain about you colluding with people. They'll complain about everything possible except why are you playing all your payday money on every hand. Jack 7 is not a great hand. There's no reason to be in this every time in a row. But it's just constantly, like, it's just like you know you want to sit at tables with those guys.
Yeah. I think it's very, I don't know if in other cultures it's so common, but in Mexican culture, once you get paid, it's like everything's busy, like all businesses.
Living large.
Yeah, like, it's like,
what is it? It's ghetto thinking.
Yeah, you get paid, like, if you're driving around Mexico City and you're in a taxi.
Yeah.
and you're like, oh, why is there so much traffic? Oh, it's the 15th or it's the 30th.
Like, some people are living like a rock star.
Yeah, people just go out and celebrate. They spend all their money. That's where I got all my bad habits from, I'm sure.
Oh, spending cash?
Yeah. Like, initially, like, it was just, oh, money's free.
Yeah.
Spend it all.
Yeah. So all my friends did that, too, when they got paid. Like, I remember when I booked my first commercial, I had a,
hi.
I had a, everybody wants to say hi, too. They just seek microphones. They want to get involved. It's like their way of, like, getting behind the camera and waving.
Yeah.
You know, a newscaster. I just won't read on this at all. What was I just saying?
When your friends got paid.
Oh, yeah. They'd be like, hey, man, you're going to come buy a car now. I'm like, well, I have an okay car. It's a Nissan. It's only 6 years old. They're like, nah, you got to spend that cash. Yeah. I'm like, really? Like, what do you do now? I'm like, oh, I work at a wine shop. I used to do that, but I ran out of money. It's like, you guys have awful spending habits.
Well, in poker, it was really weird because back in what we call the golden era.
When was the golden era?
Like 2004 to 2000, early 2007 or so.
Yeah.
Before the laws passed.
Yeah.
It was just like, literally, it was like printing money. Like, you just sit down at a poker table, knew the bare minimum of what you needed to know, and you'd just make tons of money. So it was really easy to get caught up, and everyone was 21 also, or 20.
I just start,
like, no one was old enough. Like, all the older guys weren't playing online, so...
Were not playing online?
No, they weren't, so...
So you didn't have to face any solid, like...
Well, no, not only that, but, like, we didn't have anyone telling us, like, what to do, like, how to manage stuff. We didn't have people, like, we didn't have... People that had been there, you know, we were
broke.
The pioneers of that whole scene. So, you know, now a poker player starts out and they'd get to talk to us and we'd be like, oh, yeah, even if you win a big tournament, you can't just go spend it all.
Yeah, well, and you got to pay taxes.
Because eventually you're going to have a downswing.
Yeah. And it's not like other jobs where you just don't make money. In poker, you lose money.
Yeah, exactly. It's the only job where you could show up to work and lose money.
Let's we'll talk about streaks in a second, but let's talk about Black Friday and the full tilt and all that stuff that happened online with the downswing. I mean, on the upswing, I remember going to a World Series, like, just prelims, you know, and just playing those satellites.
Yeah.
And just like, I'm not that good, but I am just raking in cash.
Yeah.
It's all these guys that are like, yeah, I'm in Vegas. I'll try that poker game.
Yeah,
I used to play Follow the Queen with my friends. It shouldn't be much different than that.
Yep.
And you're like, wow. And it really comes down to, like, you're down between three people at a table of 10 every time.
Yeah.
So the odds are so in your favor.
Yeah.
And then it sort of stopped.
Yeah. It started being young guys at all of these. And all the guys that knew how to play because they figured out that's where the money was.
Yeah.
Because the games online dried up. That was a big problem. If the games online hadn't dried up...
They wouldn't have to go find a game.
Yeah. Everything would be booming still. And it dried up... in 2006...
What happened?
Congress passed... And apologize in advance to poker players if I get stuff wrong, because they're very... sorry.
It's okay.
They're very...
They're very what? Oh.
Like... They want to get all the facts right.
Yeah.
And I don't remember
to
them
say
all.
Around anyway. Here. Yeah. People always do that. Just so you know, it wasn't August 7th, 1917. Yeah, exactly. It was August 8th, you idiot.
But, like, I'll go on the forums and just people will be like, oh, you got it off by whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway. So,
I love them. Like, tons of facts wrong. Like, what were the facts wrong? Like, it was 78, not 83. And you're like, that's the fact that didn't matter.
Exactly.
The bombing is what mattered. That's the fact that you should care about.
Yeah.
So
in late 2006,
poker was booming at the time.
Poker was just
incredible.
Online.
The World Series, the main event, kept going bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yep, it was constantly growing. Like, the games online were growing. There was so many poker sites to choose from.
You could
never find
a game.
Yeah, exactly. It was games running 24/7. So many sites that, like, you know, PokerStars and Full Tilt and all those sites were kind of just average sites. Like, they weren't huge because there were so many of them.
Oh,
they were
right.
They were just like one of, you know, 20 different places you could play.
It was
on
PokerStars, Full Tilt,
Party Poker,
Bodog,
Paradise Poker, Bodog. on game and all their skins.
And they were all trusted?
They were all trusted at that point. I mean, you know, you'd hear people go like, well, can't they like see your cards? Won't they steal your money? Blah blah blah. And at that point, we were all like, no, they can't. Like, it would insane,
kill their business,
because they're making so much money. Like, yeah, it doesn't make any sense to steal.
Like,
it doesn't make any sense to cheat.
Because the thing is, if you find out you're cheating, you're done.
Well,
so it's like all your money.
Not really.
Really,
that's what time has proven, is that if they find out you're cheating, you're not done. So it just, it created this weird, I'll get to that in a bit, but so 2006, everything's fantastic. There's suddenly, I remember I was playing a tournament online and I start getting bombarded by like instant messages, and it's people saying,
what site?
Like, you gotta turn on C-SPAN. Just, you know,
turn
like,
on C-SPAN, yeah.
Yeah, like my friends and stuff. And then I started reading it on the forums, and I'm watching this, and then it was Congress passing a bill that was called it was like something for port security, the Port Security Act.
Port Security?
Yeah, and this guy, this dude, Bill Frist.
I've heard the name.
Passed, like, it, within that Port Security Act, attached this...
Attached. It's all, that's how democracy doesn't work. It's always attached things.
Yeah, and it makes no sense at all. Like, they just put in a bill that's called the UIGA, the Unlawful Internet... Oh, fuck.
Gambling?
I forget the name. Anyway, yeah.
It's called that. Let's say it's definitely that.
Yeah. I'm drinking beer, by the way. That's why I'm forgetting it. So, like, people were coming up and being like, how is this internet gaming bill getting passed under the Port Security Act? Like one has nothing to do with the other. Of course, everyone's going to vote yes on port security.
Right.
Like, it's that bill is just,
because if you don't, then you're
pass.
Against port security. And you're like, why would you be against
social
security?
You're for terrorism, basically.
Yeah,
it essentially became, if you are for online poker, you are with the terrorists.
How do they get away with lumping shit in like that?
Because it's just corrupt and bullshit. And
then you, as a politician, you're like, okay, I'm either going to vote for terrorism, or I'm going to vote against legal betting, legal gambling, and allowing people to have the freedoms they want.
Yep. And this was his way of getting like the support from the far right, because I guess he wanted to run for president at that time.
Okay.
And you know,
he's already trying to get
getting
votes.
All those Christian like gambling votes.
Yeah.
So the second this happened, like, panic struck everything. Like, I remember seeing everyone just going crazy. But so Party Poker at the time was the biggest site.
Well, what did this law say?
It said that it was basically about depositing on and withdrawing money from internet gaming sites.
It didn't make gambling illegal.
It didn't make it illegal. It just made it. It basically made it illegal to
deposit or take out money.
Yeah, like, it made it impossible to play unless you already have money in.
Yeah.
As far as I remember. So the payment processors, all those sites got fucked. And
oh yeah, and for a while you had to go to like Western Union.
You had
and
to
it was
do
shady
all
as
the
fuck
shady stuff.
To like show up at a Vons to go give $1,000 to put into their account.
Yeah, and what happened was that, like, so Party Poker was the biggest site at the time.
Okay.
And they were being publicly traded in London.
Oh, really?
So they were legit. Yeah, they couldn't compromise their investors, so they left the market, which sort of...
What do you mean, the American market?
Yeah, the American market. So, which sort of gave, like, whoever wanted to stay in the American market...
Yeah.
It gave them, like, the keys to paradise. Like, you're just going to make all the money... If you're willing
You'll be
to
the
stay,
only one.
If you're willing to stay in the American market,
right.
A bunch of sites at that time closed down. A bunch of them stole money, like didn't repay the players.
Like Full Tilt?
No, that wasn't it yet.
Okay,
it was like just
didn't
some
play,
of
say,
the
well,
smaller
can't get it.
Sites. Yeah, they were like, oh, we're done. like, we might as well keep this money.
Just bankrupts and, like, see ya.
Yeah, and...
And they don't care about their customers because they will have no more customers.
Yeah, they just can't operate anymore. Right. So that was the first instance. That was the first time that we saw... Maybe it was the second time, but after UIGA, it was the first time that we started saying, well, you can't trust the small sites. You can trust the big ones. You can trust Ultimate Bet. You could trust Full Tilt. You could trust Stars. You could trust Party Poker.
And this trust was just based on ideas?
Based on, well, yeah, on their success. Like, well, they make so much money that they just can't afford to screw the players over.
Yeah.
That's when the game started drying up. That's when, like, NetTeller, which was the biggest...
verification?
Well, that's what we use to deposit and withdraw money, the easiest.
They were acting as a bank, pretty much.
Exactly. You withdraw from the poker site, it goes on your NetTeller account, and then it goes into your bank account.
Right.
And, I mean, I had a friend, one of my good friends, had just won, or, like, gotten second in his first big live tournament, which was at Bahamas, and he made $1 million.
Wow.
He was, like, 21 years old.
For second?
For second, yeah.
Nice.
It was a huge tournament. He got it paid to him in his Stars account, and immediately, because he was scared to keep that much money in a Stars account, so he immediately put it on NetTeller.
Yeah.
By the time he got back home, which was like 3 days later,
yeah,
NetTeller's closed down by the
NetTeller
government.
NetTeller closed down too?
By the government. Like, it got shut down. So
they shut down NetTeller?
Yeah, at that time. Yes, in the U.S., I guess it's still shut down.
Why would they shut that down? They're just an online bank who allows their bank like statements to go to. Well,
they were
places.
Facilitating this.
Ugh.
So my friend just suddenly has like goes from, you know, having X amount to having $1 million more to not having it. Like,
wow.
For I want to say like over 6 months, maybe
who was
even
this?
A year.
Who was the guy?
Isaac Haxton. Yeah, he just... I mean, it got to the point where he had to consider whether or not he wanted to sell the money for, like, half the
like
price.
50 cents on the dollar?
Yeah.
Just on a chance to get some?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he eventually waited it out and got it back.
That's what debt collectors do, by the way. Whenever they call you and say, like, you know, we're going to send you to a collection agency and someone else gets it, all they've done is buy the debt.
Yeah.
So if you owe $100 to the bank, they've sold that for $60.
Yeah.
And those people who bought it were like, well, if we can get the $100, great. If we can't, we're only out $60. Yeah. We can sell this for $30 to somebody else.
Yeah.
And they keep selling it. So eventually you can be like, look, I'll give you $40. Would that still be a win for you?
Oh, that's great.
And then they'll be like, and they'll sometimes take it. They'll be like, yeah, okay. I'm like, just call it even.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Because the bank's out of it now. The first person is way out by the time it got down three levels. They're
yeah,
like,
yeah.
They're never going to see that money. They saw whatever percentage they were going to see.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah. So he eventually did get it.
He eventually got it, yes.
How?
I guess NetTeller got like approved to some sort of permission to pay out all their customers.
Okay.
So that the customers wouldn't get fucked. It
yeah.
was only NetTeller getting fucked.
All right, that's good.
So...
This beach is beautiful, by the way.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's great.
And
it's so secluded.
Yeah.
So much perfect. Different than the... What beach am I at?
Medano Beach.
Medano Beach is like the tourist.
Yeah. Yeah, like you have people with yards or whatever they're called of there's, alcohol.
We have to tilt it and yeah. twist it as you... the boot.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he eventually got his money.
He got his money. And then... well, that was the first big tragedy. Followed almost immediately by the Absolute and Ultimate Bet scandal.
Yeah, Absolute Poker.
Where... Actually, I remember you played... We talked once when you played a 1500 World Series of Poker uh-huh. event.
Yeah.
You busted to the guy that got second.
Yeah.
That was Marco
Your friend,
Johnson.
Right?
Yeah. So that guy was the guy that sort of... He was the guy that got cheated... most blatantly and was able to discover the Absolute Poker stuff. He was playing a tournament and...
First of all, before you get into this,
yeah.
he took a crushing defeat at that at
yeah.
that tournament.
Yeah.
Where he had ace-ace against ace-10, money in, money in.
Yep.
All money in, and Marco was like
to
the chip leader.
To a Brazilian,
leader.
By the way.
Oh, really?
And he got the entire rail. Just after he took that beat, he had like 100 Brazilians screaming in his face.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was crushing.
The guy got, he drove 10-10. I mean, there's no real way to beat that. And he got a 10-10, won, and then kept state. He wasn't even over then. That was half 50-50 at that point. And then he came all the way back.
Yeah.
Oh. All right, so go ahead. So what?
So he was playing heads up in a tournament in Absolute. It was like a $1,000 like weekly tournament. And he's playing. He gets heads up. He's playing this guy. He starts losing every time he doesn't have a hand. And gets no action every time he has a hand. So he's like, man, this guy's destroying me. Like, how could he be destroying me so bad?
He's playing heads up.
He's playing heads up.
Yeah, it's the worst when you're like, okay, I've got a great hand heads up. But if they have a deuce nine, I have no chance to make any money out of this. So you have to like lure them in some way or hope they make a bet at you.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you just can't. So, like,
sometimes you just can't. Sometimes you just fold out of
the time. You just have to raise and then they just fold.
It's
the worst.
Somebody folds before you even look at your cards and you look and you're like, ah, it's king.
Well, that's, you don't look.
Right.
To avoid that feeling. So this guy's getting destroyed by some totally unknown dude.
Yeah.
And eventually bluffs at a river, and the guy calls him with 10 high on the river correctly. And no one calls with 10 high on the river correctly. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah. 10 high? Yeah. Like, even if he's bluffing, he might have a jack or queen or king.
Yeah, exactly.
And unmatched.
Like, I've made some silly calls with Jack High, and I've never been right.
I saw somebody call with King High and flip his cards over, and just looked at this guy forever. And he was like, man, I just think you're bluffing. The guy's like, hmm. And he's like, King High, I call you.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, fuck.
Well,
because he couldn't even show some hand where it's like, oh, I was bluffing a little bit. Like, you had a queen or less?
Yeah. that's a lot more common than Jack High.
I wouldn't show it. Yeah, 10 high. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, so 10 high is just, there's something fishy there. And he goes on and he asks the site for hand history. So they could send you your hand history so you could see,
how
you
too?
Played. No, you can't see theirs. But they made a mistake and they sent him like a full file, like encrypted file of all of the hands played in the whole tournament, like from everyone, like something weird that just shouldn't ever happen.
Wow.
And so they took months, like all the internet guys from the 2+2 forum.
That's the main forum for poker.
Yeah.
2+2.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Got a lot of good tips there.
Yeah. It's a pretty much a collection of all the
theory.
Of all the best like poker players, like
just talking about trends and stuff.
Yeah. So they all like finally can decode this whole thing, and they could see this guy's like how this guy played the whole tournament, and there was without a doubt like this guy could see people's whole cards. It didn't leave any room for like imagination or conspiracy or doubt or anything. It just it was real.
Shouldn't
like, this
call
guy
it
could,
a 10 high. It's too obvious.
Well, he shouldn't have done 80 of the things he did, and then. Yeah. The second that happened, it just, like, all hell broke loose, and everyone that played high stakes was like, that's why I've been losing, like, $500,000.
Right, so it's not just like, oh, fuck, the dealer is the unlucky dealer. Like, wait a minute, this is realistically set up against me.
No, it wasn't set up. It was there's certain people, certain accounts that can see your whole cards.
Why?
There was a thing in the software where...
A glitch?
It wasn't. I don't think it was a glitch. I think it was set up that way. It
had to be on purpose to their buddies, right?
Yeah, I'm sort of speaking out of line. My knowledge because I didn't like. I don't bother reading.
I mean,
all
it couldn't have just been an accident.
But it was like the guys from the inside knew. Like the main guys that
the coders
that owned the website.
Okay.
This guy named Russ Hamilton. They knew that this was possible, so they created accounts where people could see each, like everyone's whole cards, and they just stole the money. Like, there's no other way to put it. They didn't cheat people; they stole the money because when you get to watch
the odds are
see all the whole cards, like you just can't lose. There's no way.
You could lose a hand on a bad beat.
Maybe even then, you could just not play until the river. You know, you could win all your hands by bluffs, is what I'm saying.
Oh, right.
So you don't
have to.
Yeah,
you know what they have and just stay there until the end, and you're like, I know you have nothing, so it doesn't matter what I have.
Yeah.
I'll just throw a bunch of money at you, and how can you call?
Exactly.
That's the cool thing about it is sometimes, like, first one to make a bluff at a pot takes it. It's up to whoever to, or if somebody's willing to, like, re-bluff.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing about, you know, position and all that, like, basic stuff that you learn when you're first starting. Is you continuation, but you
ever do that thing where so in tournaments once they get blinds and antes up, where it's like it's taking any pot, just taking it with no raises or calls, it's like a solid solid win. So when you're the button, or let's say you're the small blind and it's fold all the way down, it gets to the button, so it gets the button who's not in for anything, small blind is in for half, big blind's already in, and so it's the first one to just go triple the raise or whatever, triple raise it. And if you have you ever done it with a small blind or before, and just go, I raise. Oh shit, it's not my turn yet. Sorry.
It happens by accident. Like you don't do it on purpose.
You don't do it on purpose just to get the guy to act before you. Like, all right, well, I'm not going to take a chance.
The thing is that your raise still, like, now there's rules against that because it's called angle shooting.
Oh, it still applies, right?
Yeah. So you're shooting an angle. You're like making it so that other people don't raise in front of you.
Uh-huh.
So now your bet is stuck, and if the other guy has a hand.
You then still have to double put it in there.
Then he's going to get more money from you, you know. But,
yeah.
I mean, people do it. It's just, you know, not
not done.
Yeah, it's not approved of.
Yeah. I mean, it's super shitty and it gets the rules, really, but sometimes you can get away with it. If you see somebody new sometimes, I'll just push that out of them.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can see them wanting to make a move. You see them, like, looking around at every person who's folded, and they're like, oh. And you're like, oh, you just want to try to take this.
Well, that's a great thing about playing live that you don't get from playing online, is that when you play with a guy that's a total novice, and they look at their cards before it's their turn or something, you can just, like, look at them before you even decide what to do and be like, okay, well, then now I'm not raising because that guy has aces.
Yeah.
And then you just fold, like, a big hand that you normally wouldn't play, and the guy...
That's amazing. That's one of my favorite things to watch when you watch televised or even live, where you're like, somebody like throw down like a great hand. You're like, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for you. Like queens pre-flop and just like, uh-uh.
Yeah. Yeah, at the highest levels, now that they're playing, like, there's this new trend to have tournaments called super high rollers.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, $100,000 buy-in tournaments.
To just get rid of just... people
it creates a weird dynamic because no poker player can really afford a $100,000 buy-in, and every billionaire can,
so just sponsors,
so it's just well you end up selling and buying each other's action, so like you have to go on and be like, all right, I want to play this 100,000 event and I only want to have 15% of myself, I need to sell 85%. And they sell it at a slight markup sometimes. So they'll say, I need to sell 85% at 1.05 to 1.
Okay.
And, you know, people invest. Like other poker players invest. And then you get to play the tournament.
But you don't have
all
to pay
the billionaires have 100% of themselves. And all of the professionals have 15% of
themselves. If you sell off 85%, you only get 15?
Well...
I thought you sell off 100%, you get half. Like people.
No, that's a stake. That's when you get staked by someone, and that is like a long term deal. You get someone to agree. Like, I'll put you in all the tournaments you want to play. You get 50% of the winnings, and you know you pay losses back if you
as
cash.
They come.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
So that's a
different thing.
That's a standard, what we call a makeup deal.
Okay.
When you sell action, you're putting up your own money for the amount of, like,
you're like it's
as
too
much money
I can
as
afford
you want.
500, but I can't afford 1,000.
Yeah, exactly.
So here, who's going to buy my 500 for me?
Exactly.
Okay. And you pay at 1.05%.
It depends, like, they judge that based on, like, how soft the field's going to be, like, how good the tournament will be, and how good the player is.
So if they see you, a professional poker player, in a tournament with a bunch of idiots, a bunch of nobodies, they'd be like, oh, this is a good bet now.
Yeah, I could sell real high.
So like, you can sell like 110 playing, or something, 120?
If I'm playing like the $10,000 like main event at the World Series where you know, first gets $8 million and there's, you know, just a bunch of idiots playing.
Yeah.
I could sell like at 1.7, 1.6 or whatever, and
and
get people to buy it, and then just play almost on no money of my own.
Yeah. All right, wait. So sorry, we got sidetracked.
Yeah, yeah.
So he found out that cheating.
Everyone's cheating on that site.
But one person,
it wasn't a tournament thing either. It just happened to be caught in a tournament.
Uh-huh.
But it was a high stakes poker thing. Like back when heads up poker was barely taking off, and people were playing
one-on-one
$40,000 buy-in games of heads up. Yeah. And the guy could see your hole cards, and you have no shot to win.
No.
So you're literally just getting robbed. Like, people got robbed out of, like maybe up to a million, maybe more.
Wow. So these accounts. And who had these accounts? People or the people who ran it?
The people who ran it. Okay. And people within the site.
This is my problem with democracy and the system we have in America.
Yeah.
Where it's like you're trusting people.
Exactly.
Individual people. Not all people overall, but just every single one not to be an ass.
And with the economic structure, the way it's,
I mean, nobody works
the way it's set up, which is like poker, where there's no, you gotta get rich. That's the thing about the system.
That's what's rewarded.
So it's going to create corruption. It's just going to happen. Like, people are gonna want to cheat at poker.
I used to cheat
the same way. Yeah,
with my friends Lawrence and Kepper and Renazizi.
Yeah,
I cheat all the time because they had two different types of chips. One with like a little plastic white center.
Yeah.
And one with a silver center. So those meant different things to each other. They're like, I need you to raise right after me. I need a call and I need you to raise so I can re-raise later.
That happened a lot. Like, it's funny because people use this sort of universal morality when it comes to poker and don't understand that, like, the newer you are and the less of a, like,
the less of a
professional you are, the more you're going to think that cheating is like acceptable, because people come from backgrounds where they cheat at like Monopoly and they don't see a difference, or you just watch like Rounders and you're like, well, you know, in Rounders it's all about cheating.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you cheat or why wouldn't you signal or whatever? Like, it's, you know, it's frowned upon by everyone, but there's no measures.
That's also
being
the old West. It's the old West.
Yeah, have an ace up your sleeve. Everything is about cheating. I mean, I've read books about like poker in the 30s.
Yeah,
and it's just, that's what they did.
I love the Simpsons. They had something where it's like, all right, show your cards. One guy's like, I got six aces. The other guy's like, I got nine aces. I beat you. It's like, what?
And then there's been all sorts of scandals and cheating in like home games and stuff. Aside from online poker.
In big home games.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's the problem. Like, people are just going to get corrupt when there's so much money on the line.
Metzger does a bit about it. Kurt Metzger, I don't know if you know him.
Yeah, yeah.
But he said, like, remember how you were playing Monopoly with your family? And you were the bank sometimes. And what would you do? You would steal money from the bank. Everyone would. And everyone relates to it in the crowd. Everyone's like, yeah, you know, because who cares now? It's been 30 years. And he goes, that's what you do with fake money when you're playing against your family and friends. Now imagine what you would do with real money against people you don't even know. And that's how the banks work.
Yep.
It's like,
it's exactly what it was.
You're like, of course you would steal. You can't trust humans to be nice.
Yeah.
Whenever people talk about revolution, they're like, what if everyone just refused to support the government for one day? I'm like, that's a great world, but where do you see that actually happening?
Yeah, the second that it becomes profitable to support
for
the government.
For one guy.
Yeah, that's it. Like, that's how it worked in poker. Like,
yeah.
What happened, actually, and it's a funny sort of analogy to what it's like to live in capitalist America or something. Everyone got cheated. Everyone got robbed in Ultimate Bet. So the second this news broke out, people, like, everyone, naturally, you'd expect them to stop playing. Like,
right? But what happened? It's amazing, human behavior sometimes, how it surprises you.
So what happened was, everyone did stop playing, thus the games got soft, because only the fish that didn't know about the scandal kept playing on the site. So the professionals
Went back in. Like, it's worth it.
They're like, well, now it's worth it. Now, and even top-level pros, even some of my best friends, they got, just recently when Ultimate Bet shut down, they took all their money, and it's like, well, I had, you know, 300,000 on the site. Well, fucking okay, like, what? At that point, you deserve it for having 300,000 on that site. Like,
you waited for 300,000 to be into a crooked site?
Or, you know, what happened is they deposited a little bit so they could play in these soft games once the scandal broke out.
And they'd win.
And then they won now that there was no cheating and there was only fish playing. And then they got it stolen. So, but that's the way it worked. Like you'd think, you know, oh, anarchy might work as a social system.
Yeah.
But no, it probably won't if money's still around.
Because it all comes down to game theory too, where it's like, well, the percentages have now gone with all the good people gone.
Yeah,
now
absolutely.
It's okay, this much percentage towards stealing from me, this much percentage towards winning easily, and it's like, over time it should work out for me.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's how everyone looked at it. So these sites,
so they went back to the shitty to the
not only did they go back to that site, but that site like thrived for another couple years.
Ultimate Bet?
Yeah, and like even was able to sign sponsored pros. Like some of my friends signed with the website,
and they would intentionally sponsor.
And they would
a site
like
they knew was cheating.
They would like, yeah, they would.
See, now
would
you now you fucked up.
They would wear the Ultimate Bet patch and be like, "Well, they're not cheating anymore." But the fact that they did cheat just makes it so that they shouldn't exist. If this was regulated.
By the way, this is not, everyone listening, this is not, we're not talking about the NSA right now. We're talking about a separate thing that has nothing to do with the NSA. If you see any correlations, that's just on you.
Yes,
exactly. They had to trust the site that's only said, yes, we have cheated in the past, but I'm sure we won't now.
Based on nothing.
They haven't said, like, we're now opening our books to the government, letting them take, like, an oversight.
They said we're going to go into investigation with a gaming commission over at the Indian Canadian place or whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, they did nothing. They proved nothing. They investigated nothing, and yet they were like this new brand. Even like they got a new logo and they got new sponsored pros and
same people
and the same pros that were there from the beginning stayed, like Phil Hellmuth and what's this bitch's name? Annie Duke.
How do they justify it, those people? Phil Hellmuth and Annie Duke. One of the two of the top players in the world.
Well, no. They're the
Live.
Worst, but...
What?
They're awful.
They're not awful.
They're really, really... Phil Hellmuth is... might be the worst professional poker player I've ever played with
in my
life.
How can you say that? He's won multiple bracelets.
And I don't know how.
There's gotta be a way how by being good.
Well, the thing is that once you get so famous like them...
Yeah. They're never paying for entries, right?
Well, no, but the fans, the fanboys that play, like the bad fish,
yeah,
they donate to these guys way more than to the average
player.
Because
they're scared of them.
Because they're scared of them, or they just want to play hands with them,
right,
or whatever. So I mean,
we went to a Hustler once.
Uh-huh.
We saw a high stakes game. It was like a home game. They said, we'll just use Hustler dealers,
yeah,
and they take like 20% or something.
Yeah,
it was pretty fun, but early on. But then we saw next to us a table with who's the Hustler, the main Hustler guy, the guy who owns it.
Not Jerry Buss. Larry Flint.
Yeah, Larry Flint. So we saw him playing with Ivy and like three other
David
that Jewy guy.
Time.
Yeah, and there was just like you could see them all just like just splitting up his money.
Yep.
And it was crazy.
I've heard like they all say, and they might be leveling him. They might be like just saying that, but they all say he's one of the best stud players in the world. Like
sub players,
stud
players. Oh, really?
But I mean, it would make sense that he's not bad because he's been playing
a lot.
So long and such high stakes with such good
with
players.
Good players, he must pick up stuff.
Like you can't stay bad.
Jerry
for that
Buss,
long.
Not good. I played with him multiple times.
Jerry Buss was not good, but he was the nicest guy.
He's very
time.
Nice. Like, but you're like, you're playing a $200 buy-in with me.
Yeah,
here's what I like about tournament poker. It's an equalizer.
Yes.
So, like, Jerry Buss is so much wealthier than I am.
Yeah.
Okay, there's no question. They don't have to look at any finances. He owns the Lakers. I do not own the Lakers. But at a $200 buy-in with 25 to the house, we are equal.
You get
if
the same
either
amount
one of us
of chips,
lose, we are out. Yes,
and,
exactly.
And you're trying just as hard because because you don't get into a tournament to not win it. Like,
yeah,
that's
everybody wants first
like,
place.
People get in cash games to just fuck around drunk.
Right.
People don't get in tournaments and not try to win it. That's the reason.
There's
you're
a
there.
Goal. In yes. cash games, it's just like, maybe I'll be out. I'm above 800. I'll just stop or just keep going. There's a win in tournaments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's that's
so these guys,
thing about
Phil Hellmuth, you think is terrible.
Yeah, he's awful.
You see that thing where he laid down kings pre-flop against that guy on just one re-raise?
Well, that was bad.
What?
Did the guy have aces?
Yeah.
Well, still, that was bad.
Yeah.
I'm sure. That guy just played... Yeah, I've played with him plenty. Like, he's just not good. And it's hard. It's hard.
I love it.
It's hard to... When you talk to amateur guys, because you'll be like... They'll be like, oh, Phil Hellmuth. And you're like, no, man, stop saying Phil Hellmuth.
Really?
It's about other
people. He's won so many bracelets.
Yeah.
Does he have the most?
Yeah.
Hi, Santa. Do you want some beer? Yeah, go for it.
He's one of the guys that has won the most. But, you know, there's guys that like Ivy that are legitimately the best.
Phil Ivy scares me.
He is one of those guys, like, you know, have you ever been around, like nearby, you go to fights a lot, like, you've been nearby Anderson Silva or something.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You could tell the aura, right? Like, you could feel it. You could feel it.
You don't think that's just celebrities?
I don't think so.
You think it's from being good?
I think so. It's from just being that, like, that guy, that Jordan.
I would say that, except one time I saw Damon Wayans walk in with Keener Ivory Wayans, and this was a decade after Living Color.
Yeah,
and you're just like, whoa, they look bigger than life.
Well, they kind of were, no?
Yeah, but they weren't, like, good comics anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
I don't know if it's celebrity or not. I do know there was this picture that I love, this baller picture of Ivy at a table getting a back massage or a neck massage.
Money.
Yeah, this wad of like $50,000 under his chair on the floor.
Yeah. There's another great picture of him. If you guys Google Phil Ivy Lakers game should make it pop up.
It's Google images,
it's like everyone in the Lakers game just jumping out of their seats, like literally everyone in the stands, everyone in the courtside.
Yeah, at a play.
Seems like a play, and then Ivy is just sitting down on his chair, like he's the only one person that you can
to feel emotion
that you can see sitting down in his chair, and you can tell that like someone just fucked with the over, someone just fucked with his bet, and he wasn't feeling that play.
That's funny.
And the thing is, Ivy carries like within the professional poker community carries this like almost mythical, aura to him where like people like professionals like big level guys like talk about him like holy shit
those
Ivy.
Crack eyes he has too where he stares at you with those wide open eyes. It's like, what are you looking at me like that for?
We're all scared of him.
I've never played with him.
He knows it too. Like, we play like big tournaments with him, and he knows that like even the best players in the world are like, fuck, Ivy's staring at me, what do I do now? And he just knows how to
what
handle
do I
it.
Do
yeah
I played one time with some pro. And I just read the Book of Tells, Mike Carroll's Book of Tells, which I kind of like, actually.
Yeah, it's a fun book, and it's actually not bad. Like, it's got good advice.
Yeah, and it's also, like, it's not just, like, player leans back, it means he's got a good hand. If a player leans forward, it means it's bad. It's not that. It's, like, it means he's nervous, which could be because of one of many things. He's got a great hand, he's going to fuck up. He's got a terrible hand he's going to bluff with.
Yeah.
But first of all, I love that book because it's written in like the 60s or 70s.
So it's all smoking tells and race tells.
Race tells. Like, okay, now young Asians are play like this. But if you get it, you're like, what? It's all race tells. The blacks don't have the capacity to carry a good bluff. They'll always crumble if you talk to them. It's so great.
Yeah.
But I did get a few that were like, as I was reading the book, I put in play immediately.
Yeah.
Like, if somebody talks when they don't normally talk, they are trying to convince you of something.
Yeah,
and I remember somebody pushing all in against me, and I had like ace eight, and it was late. He had enough where I was in the big blind, where it was like four or five times. It was like, I don't know if I want to commit to this, but he just kept talking and talking, and eventually he's like, "Yeah, all right, I'll go buy my tell book." And I just called him, and he was like, "Fuck!" It's such a good feeling.
Yeah.
But the other one was I forgot what it was. What I was talking about.
You were playing against a pro. You said.
Oh yeah, and I just read that if you look at someone else's chip stack, that's an unconscious sign that you are looking, you think you will be getting those chips.
Yeah.
So he was looking at me, I raised, he was looking at me, and I just stared, and I was bluffing, but I just stared at his chip stacks for just a second, just glanced at it, and as soon as I did, he was like, a fold. And I'm like, yes, I did it right. I made you think. Anyway, so Phil Ivey's the best.
Oh, he's the greatest.
Wait.
We
still haven't gotten to...
We still haven't gotten past Ultimate Bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Ultimate Bet thing happens. People start playing there.
Yeah.
Which is outrageous.
The pros going back is like,
yeah.
Now you're giving up your name.
Yeah.
Like, I won't take a sponsor for this podcast for things that I'm like, that's really not a good product.
Yeah.
Like, Stamps.com sponsors everybody, but I'm like, their fucking Macintosh shit sucks.
Yeah.
And this is what they've told me, because they don't have any, you can't use like a laser, like a printer, like a label printer. For those that say, well, why don't you just print up a piece of paper, cut it out, and then tape it to each package? And I'm like, you want me to
do all that work
instead of just printing it on stickers?
Yeah.
And like, that's your real answer? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, oh, all right. And when they came to his sponsors, like, well, I can't. Yeah. You just can't. You only have one name.
Yeah, because you have integrity, and the problem is that a lot of poker players don't have integrity. And also, well,
don't get me wrong, if they offer me $50 million, I would just be like, yep, greatest site ever, Macintosh included.
Yeah. Actually,
and then I'll never be able to use my name
again.
Most
poker players do have integrity.
They do.
The problem is that when you're used to such a volatile like job, like, you have those swings and that variance every day.
Yeah.
Sure, thanks. You.
Yeah, the variance.
You gotta kind of accept free money. Like when you get an offer for free money, which doesn't come around that often, and it comes usually via sponsorships.
Yeah.
You kind of have to just take it. Like, that's what Diaz told me. It's really hard not to.
Yeah. He's like, there's scam jobs in LA, in Hollywood. There are these jobs that come by where it's some rich guy has a lot of money for some shitty movie that you know is never gonna go anywhere. And he goes, Ari, they're giving out their money regardless. Take that money. You want to be like, well, this isn't going to be a good return in your investment. It's like, it ain't your spot. Just take that money.
Yeah.
And just give them the best job you can. Give them the best acting or whatever you can. But when somebody offers you a bunch of money, yeah, I get it. It's like, grab it.
Yeah, that's a lesson that I've never learned.
But only if you don't have to ruin your name over it.
Sure. I mean, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was definitely harsher on my friends that took that Ultimate Bet sponsorship, but at the same time, I can't blame them. Like,
yeah,
you know, they got offered free money and
they've been on a losing streak or something, so it's like, oh,
maybe
fuck.
Or maybe they hadn't, but either way, they were probably getting paid enough to where they just had to. And
it's worth not,
you know,
having
I've
name.
Burned the bridges where I've like lost sponsors just
what,
because I don't
shit?
Just because I don't like
what
like you like you're with the stamps.com stuff. Like, I just don't like what they're doing.
Yeah.
So I can't, like, take the money. And in the long run, it's cost me a bunch. But yeah, at the end of the day, I didn't take a sponsorship. Like, I quit my sponsorship from Full Tilt before the site stole all the money. So that made me feel at least
better.
You justified.
Weren't responsible.
Yeah.
So those guys all got paid. Well, we'll talk to it later. Yeah.
So, well, almost, well, a couple of years after that, after the Ultimate Bet scandal, now Ultimate Bet wasn't doing that good, but the UIGA already existed, like that, like
Gaming Commission. Poker online.
Poker was already not in a good place in the U.S. It was running, but it was running like you said, like super shady. People had to deposit in weird methods and stuff like that. And on
this is at the end of the boom.
Yeah, on Black Friday, which was April 11th of. Anyway.
2007, 2008,
2009?
Yeah. No, 2000... Wouldn't it be 9? That's too late.
2011?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's when it was?
Yeah, I believe so.
That's only 2 years ago?
Yeah, that's when...
That's when they were like, no more. No more deposits, no more withdrawals.
Yep.
And that killed American internet poker.
Or April 15th, sorry, not April 11th. Anyway.
And this is all, we talked about this yesterday, but this is all just the government saying, okay, these are off-site, offshore sites, so they don't... There's no jurisdiction for American.
Yep.
And though everyone has to pay, if you win a tournament and you get $50,000, you have to pay taxes on that.
Of course.
Because you won in America. You're an American who got money in America.
Yeah.
And you can claim your losses as losses,
and
too.
And people were paying taxes.
Yeah.
Like, everyone was paying taxes.
But because the site wasn't paying money to America, even if it was a site that's run in Switzerland that pays Swiss taxes, they're like, well, we don't get our cut, so we're going to end you.
Yeah, I think that was a large part
crooked.
To do with everything. Like... So one day everyone woke up, got on their computers, and it said, you know, it had the DOJ stamp on it, and it was done. There was nothing, and no one knew what was going to happen to their money. Like, yeah. I had friends who just got totally fucked. Like, one of my friends had just won, like, $75,000 after having, like, you know, not doing very well in general financially, and then, like... this was 2 days before Black Friday. Yeah, 2 days before Black Friday happened. And then he's out of money, and like,
and you don't think like, why didn't you remove it 2 days, like, when you had time? It's like, no, you wouldn't think. It's the safest place in the world.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why Phil Ivey can leave $50,000 under his table at a casino. Exactly. It's no safer place.
Exactly.
When me and Renazisi were learning how to play and we wanted to go outside to smoke cigarettes, when we both used to smoke, we're like, can we come back here when we leave? And the guy's like, yeah, just leave your chips here. It's like,
no.
Who's going to watch?
Yeah.
The guy had to laugh at us. I was like, this is safer than a bank, bro. Nobody's going to touch your money here.
No one does.
There's 90 cameras.
In fact, in poker tournaments, I've dropped like a wad of like $5,000 like from my pocket
on the floor?
And just like kept walking without noticing it, and then someone chased me down and was like, "Yo, you dropped this."
Because it's too much of a risk of something happening. It's too
no. It just people are generally when you deal with that, like there's a understanding between all of us that.
But there's also
if people aren't honest, then you can't make this work.
Yeah, but there's also an element that like when you cash in, if you won, you like cash in like. Let's say a small tournament, like you on $12,000, let's say. And I'm like, okay, here's my chips, you know, cash it in. You see these unsavorables staring at you, licking their lips. You're like, can I get a walk to my, an escort to my car, please?
Yeah.
So those are just some small element.
They do exist, but in the poker community, as a, you know, professional community, we respect that. We respect the fact that, like, we have to be honest and we can't, you know, fuck around with it's all about game theory, like you said. Like once someone fucks up that ecosystem of honesty, then it just gets like,
once I read a little about game theory, it really made me relax in terms of like bad beats or anything.
Yeah,
it just really got to be like, no, I'm in with the really good odds, whatever happens, but it doesn't matter. If I'm a 9-1, then it's like, that's totally fine if I lose.
Making money.
Yeah. Over time, this will... Yeah.
That's how it works.
Hand by hand, so that makes you angry, but like...
Yeah.
Over time, it's fine. It's a workout for me. I'm playing well. Yeah. And the same theory goes, I heard Phil Ivey talk about this, like, when you should stop playing a cash game, like, when you should call it a certain amount. And he's like, no, if you're playing well, keep playing. But if you're playing shitty and you're up $300, get out. You're not playing well right now.
Yep.
Like, you're lucky.
It's all about how you're playing, not about like you're winning or losing.
Yeah.
So going back to Black Friday, this happened. People like literally had to go from playing high stakes poker to like waiting tables, and like it happened all over. And it didn't affect me because I'm a Mexican citizen. I was living in Mexico already, and
you had just moved to Mexico?
No, I'd been there for a long time already.
Okay. I thought you lived in Vegas for a long time.
I was in Vegas for like a year and a half, 2 years almost. But yeah, and even then I was like traveling out all the time.
Yeah. You had a poker house?
There was a building there. It was a big building called Panorama Towers. It's behind behind the Aria right now.
Aria's great. Yeah,
it's awesome. And it's two buildings, and the way they set it up initially was like, oh, celebrities are going to come vacation here. This is the celebrity high-rise where Leo DiCaprio is going to come and stuff like that.
Nope.
And, like, immediately it got full of just fat, nerdy poker players that just smoked weed all day and stayed in their apartments and ordered food and then strippers. And that's all it was. It was, like, this big, giant, like... frat house of.
Did you say you had like a
nerds?
You had this
strippers.
Patio that just had litter with cigarettes because the people above you would always throw the cigarette butts off.
Yeah,
I love houses like that. Just frat houses.
Yeah,
everyone's playing tournaments on the shitter.
Yeah,
like they have computers like right next to the bathroom, so you can never stop playing.
Yep,
that's hilarious.
Yeah, it was a weird time. Like people just would walk into your apartment, smoke a bong, play video games while you're playing online poker.
That's nice.
But yeah, so I was this Black Friday thing, it didn't affect me. It was good for me because like all the American pros
had to get out.
Were out, and then suddenly all the games were good. I won a bunch of money that month because I just came right back to Mexico.
Well, you're still against it.
I was
on
vacation there. Of course, I was against it, but so I played. It didn't affect me until. Like maybe 2 months after that, I was in Vegas for the World Series, and actually, This was right when you had first invited me on the podcast, when you were in Vegas.
It's been a while trying to do this. A couple years.
It was like 2 years. Yeah. Exactly. It was in 2011. Yeah.
And I used to go to Vegas all the time then, so I was like, you live here, let's just do it one day.
Yeah, and it would have been a great time, because right when you invited me, like, I think 2 days later, I went flat broke.
Really?
Oh, yes, because of this. Like,
how? What do you mean? What happened?
Because, so Black Friday happened, but it didn't affect me, right?
Yeah.
I went to Vegas, I played a few tournaments and didn't cash any, and then it was like a super surreal day where my friend calls me up and he's like, I just got in a big, big game, cash game, playing like, you know, $80,000 buy-in or something. You want a piece? And I'm like, yeah, I'll take, like, you know, whatever it was, like 15-20%. I'll take that piece. And then I go play my own high stakes cash game. And then I start losing in my game. And then he sends me a text saying I lost like 300K or something. And then...
Jesus.
And then I get... I don't remember how much it was. But anyway, I lose, he loses. And then I get a text saying, did you see Full Tilt just... Full Tilt just shut down and doesn't have any of the player funds.
Oh, wow, and that's right.
I had a lot of my money on Full Tilt.
Was this after that bad World Series you had? Did you have World Series where it's like every tournament you kept not cashing?
Yeah, this one. Oh. And it was during that. It was right after
the World Series. Like, there's 15, 20 tournaments you're going to play.
Yeah, and there, minimum, and there's 1,500. Like a lot of 5,000s and 10,000s and stuff. I mean, you could get stuff like 200,000 easy at the World Series.
Plus these other tournaments. And then
you're buying people's actions and stuff like that. It's like tons of cash games going on. It's like the month of just... I don't play the World Series anymore, but it's the month where you go and take a shot.
Yeah. Is there still that theory that no matter how much money you win in... Because I know there's a lot of internet pros that play like top-level internet pros, like the mathematicians.
Yeah.
And it's still like... Unless you take a World Series bracelet, there's some sort of honor that's not quite there.
Nah, not anymore.
Not anymore.
No, people could give a shit about a World Series bracelet. Yeah.
So like, where do they go then?
Like, right? Well, because it's profitable because of the tourism. Like, the World Series of Poker has a brand to it now.
Right.
Where, you know, people that never play poker throughout the year, they save up and they go to the World Series of Poker.
Right, they just play their house games. Like, I'm going to save up for 20 years.
I want to play that World Series of Poker event. Maybe once in my life I want to go and play the World Series of Poker.
Yeah, sure.
And they, you know, save up and they go play that event in the hopes of getting a bracelet. So to them there's prestige in that, like to the casual player.
Fucking Marco. King three of hearts.
That's how
every hand he was raising five times. I could see what he was doing, and I even read about that theory of like just keep raising and push people, and then like see a flop. No one's going to raise you back. It has to be 15 times, and no one's willing to make that argument unless they have really good hands. Then you get off it, and then eventually I just pushed him back all in, but it wasn't enough with pocket tens, and then he fucking hit his king or his hearts, whatever
king
it was.
Three.
Yeah,
and he had a call.
Yeah. Yeah, I could. There was no bad. Once he raised, he shouldn't not call. But I was like, motherfucker.
Yeah.
It was right at the beginning of day two. Anyway, I'm glad he took second. That made me feel better.
Yeah, it's too bad he didn't get first.
Yeah,
I felt bad for him.
So you had no. All of a sudden, your money. They weren't paying
like
people
within a day. Within like it went from like.
How
overnight.
Did Full Tilt go broke?
Because when you're a poker player, by the way, you go broke often. Well, like some of us go broke like somewhat often.
Uh-huh.
I read, I think it was one of the comics wrote a tweet that was like, my father was a gambler. We were rich seven times. who was it? It was Morgan Murphy, I think it was.
Oh, really?
But anyway, really? It's like the perfect way to sum up a poker career because it's like, oh yeah, I did well these years, and then these years I didn't do so well. Some people do well their whole career, but usually when you do go broke, you don't go broke in one night, you know? You don't go broke that rounder style, I'm going to put all the money in the table and then lose it.
No one's gambling that much.
No one's doing that. No one's putting their bankroll on the table.
Because it's too much of a chance for you to
go
broke.
So you lose gradually. Yeah. You go like, oh, fuck, I haven't won in 6 months. I'm going broke.
Right.
And then after a year, you go broke. But this time, I lost it all in a day, and through no fault of my own, really. It was just out of my control.
Like, not even bad beats. Just like, wait, no, my money just got taken from me.
Yeah, exactly.
And so why did they, how did they go broke, Full Tilt? How did they just
well,
say?
Well, because they were putting out,
all like commercials and stuff?
They were paying out their players. So, like, say Phil Ivey was getting, like, $1 million check a month.
Just to play.
Just to do whatever you wanted with it. They were, like, fucking... They were balling out of control is what they were doing. They were just giving all these distributions from the company, and they didn't have the players' funds to back it. So because they kept thinking it worked.
Having Phil Ivey with for $1 million a month will result in $7 million a month in profit, so we can afford that.
Yeah.
But then it wasn't like
they were loaning their players, like, oh, you need $2 million to play high stakes? Sure, you could borrow it.
Right.
And then these guys weren't paying back.
Yeah.
And then, you know, eventually they dug themselves into this hole that they couldn't get out of unless they kept operating. Like, if they had kept operating, maybe eventually they would have made the money back, and then no one would have found out. But the fact that the DOJ seized the site on that day, that's how everyone found out, because they were like, well, okay, now we need to pay the players out. Like, PokerStars could play their players out.
PokerStars did, right?
Yeah, PokerStars did. And then,
they're like, we're fucked, but we're not going to take it on you because this is your money.
The money to cover you. Yeah. Like, you know, the government isn't preventing us.
When it's like, do you or do you not have enough money to pay everybody once all the checks are cashed, once they're all called in?
Yeah, exactly.
Remember Wonderful? It's a Wonderful Life.
I haven't seen it, but that's...
It's like Christmas. The bank people wanted to rush on there, but it's like, ooh, I don't know if we've invested it all. And they had $1 left over.
Yeah, so that's you exactly don't go to jail. What it's like. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, it goes into way more detail than this. Like, I can't even begin to explain.
And you never got your money back?
Well, yes, after a while, because what happened was that PokerStars bought Full Tilt.
And their debt.
And their debt. So they paid the DOJ like a crazy amount of money. The Full Tilt owed like took $440 million of player funds, player winnings.
And wasn't the big issue like, so wait, the fucking PokerStars they all got paid. How come they get their money and we don't get our money? Didn't they give them all, like the big guys, all their money?
The Full Tilt pros? Yeah. Like the big pro? I don't think so.
Their sponsorships money? They didn't?
They were already super rich from before. Like, it didn't matter. Maybe, you know, most of those guys just disappeared. Like, Howard Letter just disappeared.
Just disappeared? What do you mean?
Chris Ferguson just, like, they disappeared. You never saw, I mean, they're there. They're around. But they're not playing poker, I don't think.
They're not. They
I think
just say,
maybe
fuck it.
Howard has shown up for a tournament.
Well, what do you mean they disappeared? Were they part owners?
Yeah, they were part owners. So like, they owned, like, 1% or 2% or whatever it was. And it was because of them. Like, they were allowing this to happen.
Right.
I mean, the main guy was Ray Bitar. He's in jail right now, I believe.
He is in jail. That's good.
But, yeah. So PokerStars bought up Full Tilt, bought up their debt, and finally, as of, you know, this year, paid the players out. Or maybe last year it was? I don't know.
So you got your money?
Yeah.
All of it?
Yeah, I got all of it.
So now you're back in business?
Yeah, no. Well, yeah. I was already back in business, but I didn't stay broke for too long. But I remember the day after, I was like, I just woke up in this, like, I was renting a place out at Palms, and I'm like, holy shit, I'm broke. And, like, I just, like, got high and walked around the Palms. I couldn't afford anything.
You can't resell your weed, so may as well use it.
I mean, I knew, like, it's not that difficult. Like, I'd just borrow money and get staked.
Yeah. And then what do you do? Just start
and
over
then
and play lower level tournaments?
You could also sell your Full Tilt money for less than it was worth, like I explained earlier about Neteller. So I just sold, like, $10,000 or something, just so I had a little bit of money in Vegas.
Wow.
And,
Okay, let's say you don't go broke in this Full Tilt scandal. Let's say you go broke just by having a bad run.
Yeah.
And by broke, it means your bankroll is gone.
Yeah.
And do you separate bankroll from living money?
You're supposed to, but, you know, at some point, it's kind of the same thing. Like, I don't really, like, yeah. I take some out, like, so I could live with it, but...
Yeah.
But at a certain point, when you're losing a bunch, it just becomes all the same thing. Like,
yeah.
Like now, if you have $20,000 saved up, well, that becomes your bankroll. Like, that's not living money anymore.
I always had, like, I set aside whatever it was to play cards. You know, let's say it was a couple grand. And then once I made that back, I, like, took that money back out of... I had a separate account. I took that money back out. And then, you know, once I had, like, $5,000 in there, I took the two out. And then I was like, okay, I'm just playing on profit. When I'm done, I'm done.
Yeah.
And however much you get it up to, but you're like, it just stays. So I go to the poker tournament, I use a separate ATM card.
Well, that's a great system to use if you're not playing professionally.
Right, yeah, good point. Like, yeah, like, I have other money coming in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, good point.
When
you can do a Kia commercial to get 20 grand, it's nice and easy. Yeah.
Exactly. When all you're doing is trying to play and beat people for money, then, you know.
It's all just money used for...
And it's hard to control it, like, once you start that downswing and once you start losing.
What's the feeling during a downswing?
It's awful, man. It's like... Because especially in a cash game downswing, in a tournament downswing, is gradual and it's slow and you know it's going to happen. Like, it's like downswings in tournaments are like just so normal.
Yeah.
But in a cash game downswing, you're not supposed to lose over X amount of hands. Like, it's just not supposed to happen.
Yeah.
So you start doubting everything. Like, maybe all of a sudden I'm a losing player. Maybe I'm not as good as I thought I was.
Oh, second-guessing yourself.
Yeah, playing worse, and that just creates a bigger downswing. And
There's some freedom that comes with when Phil Ivey's like throwing up a bluff for, you know, $500,000 and just going like, whatever. If I lose, I lose.
I have $100 million. Yeah. What the fuck do I care?
It doesn't matter. So it's just calmness comes over you.
Yeah, he has an advantage that makes him the best, is that he just truly doesn't give a fuck about money.
I mean, remember when you start playing cards at all, and you're playing blackjack, and you get like, you have a lot of money, and you get aces, and you're like, oh, fuck, and you like split it, and you're like, no, that's a lot. I used to do this thing where you like bet 5, and if you lose, bet 10, if you lose, bet 20, if you lose, bet 40.
Martingale?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then if you win, at any point, it's like you won 5, put all the money back, and start over at 5.
Yeah.
But sometimes you get to the end one where it's like, okay, it's $100. And then you're like, split. 80. And you're like, split 8. It's like, oh, fuck, 160. Okay, fine. And you get like, you know, whatever it is, like an ace 9 or I don't know, whatever it is, but you want to double down on something. You're like, fuck. And you lose it all. You're like, I'm done. I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bad feeling. Like, should I double down now? I don't think I can afford to, even though it's the right bet.
Even though you should. Well, yeah. The thing is, as a poker player, never passing up on that plus EV like,
never.
Situation.
You've got a good bet. You cannot.
You do not pass up plus EV. Like, it
What's plus EV?
It's positive expected value. So, like, if, you know, if we're doing a roulette and I get to choose 2 numbers and you get to choose 1, I'm just a favorite over you. Even you though it always. Doesn't mean that I'm gonna win.
Lose.
It doesn't mean that I'm gonna win. I'm a favorite over you. So if I'm betting directly against you, you can still beat me. But I'm never gonna say no to that. Like, right. It just won't happen.
It's an easy good bet.
Yeah, and as a poker player, you live off expected value. Like, that's that's your entire thing. So
there's also expected tournament value. I saw Brunson's son posted a letter that he had with his dad,
yeah,
saying how he played a hand right, and he was like a 60-40, you know, to win and all in. And he goes, dude, you were a 60-40 for this hand. You're risking your whole like tournament on one hand. When it wasn't, if it's the final hand, then it's like, fine, yeah, go for it. But if it's just one hand, it's like it's too much of a risk. That 40 is too much.
Well, yeah, I mean, it doesn't always apply, but it occasionally does.
It was like early on, you're not even in the cash yet. It's like, just get out of here.
There's certainly situations where you might lay down like a favorite because, you know,
it's like, I don't want to take this big a bet.
Certain monetary jumps or whatever. But yeah, like when you're playing cash game, that just doesn't exist. Like tournament EV doesn't exist.
This money is this money.
You're just taking the EV all the time, and I mean, it's not only just EV. It's just like getting coolered, which is getting like queens to aces over and over and over.
Yeah,
you can't fold queens in a cash game. Sorry, you just get it in and.
It's a really good hand,
and then you just keep losing to them.
Yeah.
So you're going through your, you know, we all have like a database, like softwares and stuff like that, and you go through them, and you're like, well, you know, this thing says that I should be winning X amount of money, but I'm losing. Like,
oh, it shows you can punch in everything, and like tells you like where
well,
you should.
It records all your hands you've played, so it could tell you like, you know,
this is what I should have done.
Expected value EV adjusted. Is how much money you should be making, and this is how much money you're actually making.
Okay, so and sometimes it's better and sometimes it's worse.
So when you're in a downswing, you're just staring at that going, man.
I should be winning.
Yeah, but the funny thing is that when you're in an upswing, when you're in a massive upswing equal to that downswing, you do start thinking, well, I'm just the best.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that I'm getting lucky.
But does that help you to think you're the best? Does that help you play? do you think?
Or I think so, yeah. I think it helps you. Okay. So to some extent, to some people, it's a detriment. Like, you know, Helmuth thinks he's the best, and he plays like shit. So
I heard somebody yell at him once. It was like somebody like played like questionable card. He was just demeaning somebody.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you played that? How can you play that? And the guy goes, hey, I paid for my tournament entry. I actually have a stake here. You don't have shit, so shut up.
Yeah. Yeah, people give it back to him sometimes.
Yeah. So, okay, so you're losing. So, you start feel as you're losing. Do you start feeling like I should do something else, or like what can I do?
All the
do you start
time.
Believing in like, superstition?
No, I don't. I don't get into superstition.
Even when you're losing.
Even when I'm losing, but I mean, sometimes you start questioning whether the site is wrong. Like, I do at least. Some people don't, but I'll be like, "Fuck, man! Like, we've seen it over and over." Like, yeah, like PokerStars is the only one left. What if this one's also
fucked up? Of course they should do it too, yeah.
Yeah, like, what if this one's also fucked up? What if people can't actually see my whole cards? And the fact is that, like, people can't, like, you know, you could get your computer hacked and people could see your whole cards, and it just happens. And you always have to be, you know, it's always in the back of your mind. Like,
yeah.
This, like, I could just be getting fucked. And when you're downswing, you want to even believe that, because otherwise the other implication is that you're just bad.
Oh, and nobody wants to believe that.
No one wants to believe that.
I had a friend, I talked to my friend Lawrence, who I started playing a lot with, my commercial agent. And he had kings. He put his fucking cheater chip on his to let me know. So he called, I raised, then it went like call, or maybe raise, call, all the way around. I got out, and we only did that if we had aces or kings.
I can't wait to read the forums, by the way.
About this?
Where all these dickheads are going to be like, JC Alvarado's just openly supporting cheating.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, regardless, though, so flop comes, and there's an ace on the flop.
Yeah.
And he bets anyway. He's like, let me see if I'm still good. He bets. It was a raise, another raise, a call, and then he got to him. And I'm like, and he's like, oh, I'll call. And I was like, what are you doing? What are you doing? One of these guys had, and he just called it all the way down. And I'm like, he's like, it's fucking bad. He goes, it was a bad beat before the flop. But then you were bad. He was beat by three guys.
Then you put your money in bad eight times.
Yeah. I'm like, what are you doing?
Does not make it a bad beat.
One guy I could see.
Yeah.
Two, it's like somebody's got an ace, bro.
Yeah.
You're not going to get him out of this. You just can't get off your kings.
Yeah.
Fuck you, forums.
Especially back in the day when you'd watch it on TV and it was like, oh, this is a premium hand. You'd learn that kings, you're not supposed to fold it. So.
And then he would like tell me, he's like, I was like, you should have folded. Like, you're supposed to fucking support me. He got all mad. And I was like, I am supporting you. I'm telling you how to play better next time. I'm not that good, but I can tell you you were beat.
Yeah.
Like when he was like call, I was like, what? Like, I couldn't even control myself because I knew what he had. I'm like, well, you can't do that.
When I first started playing professionally, I had a little stretch where I had to deal with my mom, like, mm-hmm. calling me up, like, after, like, I'd go play a $10,000, like, buy-in.
How'd you do?
Like, WPT or something, and then I'm like, I bust, and it comes out on the updates.
Yeah.
Like, oh, like, you know, JC busts with Jack.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom would call me immediately after my tournament every fucking time, and it's like, at that time, it would bother me to play to bust out of tournaments. Now it doesn't, but like back then I'd just be like walking around miserable, and my mom would call and she'd be like, I think you could have folded. I don't think you should have played jacks that way. And it'd just be fucking enraging. Like,
You're not helping at all. Thank you for nothing.
I'm a professional.
Yeah. You're just my mom.
And finally now she doesn't even ask. She's just
like, I'm always do that. I was like, well, can't you call like Spielberg or something and see if he can help you? Like, no, you don't know anything about how this works.
How could Spielberg?
She'll point out something in hindsight. Yeah. Well, he's Jewish. I heard his mom owns a restaurant over there. Maybe go by there and ask her. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'll do. That's the same, by the way, as when I was hanging out with Rogan a lot, and people would give me scripts to give to him. Like, here's a script.
No.
Someone gave me a volleyball
Why
script.
Why would they give Rogan a script?
Yeah, that's what I want to be like. Dude, you're giving it to me to give to him. First of all, even if it's him, he doesn't have the power to get a script made. What are you talking about? He's lucky if somebody's like, hey, would you like to be in this script? Ugh, people are idiots.
Would you ever read him?
I read some of it, that volleyball one I did.
What was it about?
Volleyball, man. This guy was clearly, he loved volleyball. And so it was all about volleyball. And he wanted, I'm like, you know, Rogan doesn't even play volleyball. Still, I think it'd be perfect for him.
Like, I could see them if they gave him, like, an MMA script.
Yeah, something to do with him.
That's funny.
I pitched a show to Dana White once. It was one of the most nervous I've ever been.
Like, legit pitched?
Uh-huh.
Like, sat in a board meeting and everything?
Sort of. Yeah. I, like, told him, you know, I'm friendly enough with him.
Yeah.
And me and this guy worked up a pitch, and we thought it would really be good for the UFC, like, for Zuffa to do this reality show.
What was it about? Can you say?
Say now, it's never going to go anywhere. It's sort of the Ultimate Fighter, but with real regular people. And so a month of training, MMA,
yeah.
Play with headgear on, go with headgear, but also like learn how to like live right, eat right, just your whole, so for fat people become like half Biggest Loser. Yeah. And win or lose, we thought, still be positive for everybody.
Yeah.
You're getting more skills.
Except
not douchebags,
too much
nerds.
Liability. They'll never do that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, like.
But I was like, do you ever take pitches? And he's like, yeah. You want to do it right now? I was like, okay, let's go up to my room. And he went up to this room that's like a floor of the Palms or whatever it was. Then this walk-in pool that goes inside and outside of his... Oh. But then he was like, nah, we're not doing that. Thanks. But it was totally cool right afterwards. He goes, so how's you been? He just made it like cool. Dana White's a cool motherfucker. Yeah, but yeah, if it's a pitch for like that, maybe Rogan could take it.
Yeah.
So you're going broke.
Yeah.
Do you think about... how did you lose your sponsorships? And do you think about doing another job?
I quit both of my sponsorships. I had a sponsorship with Full Tilt.
Yeah.
And I quit that almost immediately to go with Poker Stars.
Okay. Because
they were like they immediately contacted me after Full Tilt got me. And they were like, we'll give you more money.
Oh,
and
really?
I was like, okay, I'll take more money.
Oh, perfect. That's perfect. After you quit on your own.
Excuse me?
After you quit on your own, then they came to you.
Well, I hadn't quit yet. I was already a Full Tilt sponsored pro. And I had gotten it with these like... kind of sketchy agents that were trying to fuck me over for like you know 20% of a deal that I had already been offered. So like now they're keeping 20% of this Full Tilt deal, and now I get offered Poker Stars where I don't have to
pay the percentage and it's more. Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, fuck you guys, I'll burn this bridge, I don't care.
Yeah.
And I do, and I leave, and then Poker Stars came along and they just offered me a decent deal, and at the time, you know, it was kind of prestigious to be a Poker Stars pro. I didn't know that they were on this new marketing campaign where they would just hire everyone, like people that just suck and stuff.
They also just wanted you to wear their stuff when you're playing, right?
Yeah, but the thing is that they didn't want just anyone to wear their stuff at that time.
Oh, right.
I was like the first of the nobodies to get.
But you were a legitimate, profitable pro.
No, I was, yeah, and I was marketable and stuff.
Yeah. So, Mexican?
Yeah.
So for the people who are hungover a lot, I don't know. Stereotypes. I couldn't think of anything good right there.
Hungover a lot.
I don't know, the burrito eater. There's nothing I could eat. Oh, wait, by the way, burritos are not real Mexican food. That's what you're saying?
No, not really.
Wow. Where is it? Like South Mexico or something? Where does it come from?
No, it just comes from America's, like.
They invented it?
Yeah, I guess so.
Paquito like, Mas invented the burrito?
Like, or maybe like one of the border towns that just started having like a weird... I don't know where it came from, but I mean, I'm certain that Chipotle is more burritos than anyone in Mexico will ever eat.
Wow.
Yeah. Tacos are the real Mexican food. Real tacos, not
al pastor.
Pastor.
That's delicious. That's the shawarma of tacos.
Yeah, that's the best. And that's the Mexico City taco. That's a staple of Mexico City.
The al pastor?
City. If you go to Mexico City...
Matt Nose told me that a long time ago.
Yeah.
Let's do this. We were talking about this yesterday. Yeah. I'm going to do a gig in Mexico City. You're going to help me with
come
it.
Come out. I'll
you're gonna do the
set
leg work.
Everything up.
Okay.
I'll set everything up. Yeah. Come out and you could eat like the best al pastor you've ever eaten in your life.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
It's like New York pizza versus anywhere else pizza in the U.S. Like,
yeah.
Like
here's what I've noticed about New York pizza. It's amazing. But also, per capita... more shitty pizza there than anywhere in the world.
I guess so. That's true, yeah.
You just don't go to those 99 cent pizza places.
Yeah.
But, what were we talking about?
Going broke.
Yeah.
How do you deal with sponsorships.
Yeah.
So I was doing well when I had my PokerStars sponsorship towards the end of it. And then I was like, all right, you guys need to offer me more money or I'm just not going to take it. And then they didn't want to because the way that PokerStars works and all poker sponsorship works, it's that since it's a game where no one can really tell who's good and who isn't,
mm-hmm.
like unless you're a
it's just
professional,
based on celebrity.
Unless you're a professional, you can't really like you don't have the the capability to just appreciate true high level play, like true skill, like a guy that's just dominating it theory wise. And so they could just hire anyone. Like, they could hire anyone, they could market them, they could, like, do a PR thing on them.
Well, like,
and
this
then
guy's
suddenly
great.
This guy's a poker star. He's, like, a real legit dude.
So, like, those guys who just, whatever reasons, like, there's a bunch of guys that are okay, but the odds work out in their favor, and they win the World
Series
of Poker.
Maybe they win one tournament.
But those, like, money makers and all
those guys that are,
like...
those guys all just got lucky.
Yeah, but there's, like... 80 guys in that tournament that, like, one of these guys is going to go to the final table,
of course,
and they're going to get, so it's not like they're the best, and everybody kind of knows it who plays poker.
Yeah,
but the non-people are like, well, he won a World Series, he's got a name we can market.
Well, and then there's the mid-level pros that also won tournaments that can be marketed as high-level pros when they're really not. So you could get, like, a guy that's sort of...
That's the benefit of being on TV and playing those, like, World Series of Poker, like, tours and
the
stuff.
The
WPT, yeah.
It used to be, because back then poker sponsorships were more available than they are now.
Yeah.
But so what happens is, like, if you get a guy who makes, you know, $1 million a year, you can't offer that guy a $100,000 sponsorship because they'll tell you to fuck off. They don't want to do it for $100,000, right? But if you get a guy that breaks even throughout the year,
he would love
now
it.
Now you're making him, like,
money.
You know, he could afford a house or whatever.
A lot of MMA fighters, when they fight for 8 and 8.
Yeah, exactly.
Which means, like, 8,000 plus another 8,000 to win.
8,000 to show and then 8 to win.
Which means if you have a good year and you go 2 and 1.
You might win 30,000.
That's 8, 16, 32 plus 8 is 40 grand, which is not really enough. So the only way you can make money is with sponsorships.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Actually, I was just going to do an MMA fight.
You were going to do one?
Yeah, for
what
a
are you
bet.
Training?
It was a bet. This high-stakes poker player put out, like, an open challenge to any other poker player at his level of experience that wanted a bet. He originally said $50,000.
His level of what experience? Poker?
Fighting experience.
Oh, okay. I was kind of like, I'll teach Rogan some poker. Rake
exactly.
up on this. Teach Joe Lonzo how to play.
He wanted a bet $50,000, so I took him up on the offer, and then I was going to fight him. This was earlier this year, and he wanted to bet a little less after it all. He wanted to bet 34,000, and he was a favorite to my 20,000.
Okay.
So I was going to put up 20. So I, like, went out, like, and paid Matt Hume.
To train you?
And his team. I was just like, yo, guys, I'm not a fighter, but...
I need to be.
But I need to be.
Yeah.
And then he, like, 2 weeks ago, he canceled the fight. So I, like, just got all this MMA experience just for nothing. He ended up paying me, but...
He did?
A fraction of it, yeah.
Okay.
So he bought out.
That'll give you some.
Yeah. But anyway, I was thinking, like, how if I went through with a fight and won, I'd get paid more than, like, most UFC fighters get in like, a year.
Yeah.
Of, like, fighting three
most
times,
of them.
Which is crazy.
They must get more than 8 and 8 now. The minimum must have gotten up, hasn't it? It can't still be 8 and 8.
I'd be surprised if it's not the same minimum.
I mean, I get it where it's like you're a first fight on a prelim. You're not even being televised. We're not making any money off you.
Yeah,
we can have anybody doing this.
The difference between that and boxing is that in the UFC, they become famous off prelim fights, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, people just know all the MMA fighters. They don't know all the boxers, you know? So it's...
Yeah, boxing is usually only one fight that anybody cares about.
Yeah.
Hey, let's walk around there and see what else is there.
All right, sure.
We'll keep going. Put shoes on?
Yeah.
Gets hot, right?
It might be hot. I'm going to take a beer, actually.
Yeah.
You want one?
Yeah, sure. Indio. It's definitely gonna fall. When you win, is there that aesthetic, hold on, of just like paying for everybody? Is there that, like, the baller style?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, even when I'm not winning, like, the thing about poker is that, like, you really lose the value for money almost immediately when you become a professional poker player. You just,
because it comes so fast.
Well, because it comes and goes so fast. Like, it's not a I got paid $2 million out of nowhere thing. It's I'm paying a big blind every...
You're playing a big blind what?
Like, every orbit. And that big blind's $50 or whatever, $20.
Yeah.
Now a $20 burger doesn't seem that bad.
Mm.
Like, that's how it became. And especially yeah. early on when I was talking about, like, the boom, you know, it was pretty easy to get into that mindset.
And yeah, that's how I am with, like, Wi-Fi in the hotel room. Where it used to be like $12.95, yeah. I pay $30 for the whole month in LA. I'm not paying $12 for a day.
Yeah.
There's no way. But then at some point it becomes like, my life in this hotel is going to be shitty. It'll yeah. be better for $12.
It's just a price, a tax. You yeah. have to pay.
Oh man, this is great out here.
Yeah, this is awesome.
There's nobody here. Wow, on the rocks.
Yeah.
Fucking Mexico, way nicer than they tell us about.
I told it was funny because now that Black Friday happened and a bunch of poker players had to move to Mexico.
A bunch moved here, huh?
A bunch of them. Like I'd
yeah,
say,
I met
like
one of that
I'd
show
say
yesterday.
Over 200 moved, and a lot of these guys are just like man, I don't want to go back. Like I don't want to go back to the U.S.
because they're enjoying it.
Because they like it so much.
A lot of people retire here.
Yeah,
which I think is cool.
Well, not only that, like it's actually
just makes your money go further.
It's actually just more free.
More like, freedom, yeah.
Like even if we have all the political problems we have and all the economic problems we have,
yeah.
At the end of the day, if you fall under a certain economic category, like if you could afford a little bit, you could just pretty much do whatever you want.
You can do whatever you want.
I mean, kind of. Like you could pay off police.
Oh, really?
I mean, it's...
Well, that's nice.
I mean, it's not something that you should do, but if you ever get
you're
in trouble
about,
for something
you
stupid, like if there's some retarded law, right? You passed a red light when there was no cars, mm-hmm. and the cops stop you.
Yeah.
Eh.
You should pay them off.
I'm not going to fucking go do driver's ed for that.
Here, how about 50 bucks, man? Would that work?
Yeah.
Do they shake you down, or do they just, like, allow you to bribe if you want?
In Mexico City, they allow.
Well, look at all those crabs.
Where?
Whatever they are.
Yeah, they're crabs for sure.
Oh, crud. Are they going to snap at us?
I don't think so. We could just sit wherever if That's you want cool. to sit around here.
Yeah, sure. I'm just sort of seeing it. All these rocks are cool. Wow, they jump, too.
What is yeah, that you don't thing? Want to narrate to people.
What?
You to explain where we're at? Or do they know?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's this private... Say, where are we? It's this private, sort of private beach.
Private beach in the middle of Cabo.
Yeah. And now we went away from where the beach area is, just these rocks, and nobody's fucking here.
Rocks and awesome waves.
Yeah, they really hit hard here. Would you drown in that?
I mean, you'd probably hit a rock.
Hit a rock and bash your head. Yeah, let's do that. Death by drowning in a beautiful resort. Okay, so what's the decision like to go into poker? When you're 19, are you like...
I mean,
I'm gonna do this.
It's cheesy. You want to sit or do you want to keep walking over there?
I don't know. Yeah, let's keep walking.
All right. It's cheesy to say, but it's really like, oh, there was no decision. It just became like.
Really, even the very beginning when like I'm gonna do this.
I mean, I mean, sure. At some point, there was a decision to quit school and go mm-hmm. full time.
Yeah.
But by that time I was already skipping all my classes and
so it's kinda like if you're a comic and you just like you're in college and you're just like, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm just like the comedy's taken off. But you can just in the beginning you just do it for fun, like I'm just doing this. But there's no like you don't have to like go like, okay, I'm now gonna become a doctor. You just sort of do it more or less.
I mean,
and like the more you win then you're like, is that how it is? More like suddenly
sure,
it's like, well now
like,
I've got 50
well,
grand
with,
saved up.
With me the way I am with anything I do is that I become super obsessive.
Yeah.
And, like, really just dive into it entirely. And I, like, so I was in college, and I just didn't leave my room. Like, I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't partying.
Just playing poker all the time.
I was just playing poker and reading poker books. I'd sneak poker books into my, like, into my math class, I remember.
To really?
And I'd do math equations during class, so it looked like I was doing
work. You were just doing game theory?
But I was doing, like poker math. Like
yeah.
All like,
okay,
studying expected value
hand?
For different things, yeah.
Tell me the joy. I just remembered it. Tell me the joy of getting a bad beat on someone. I'm sure Matt is live. Because on the computer, you're not really playing against anybody. You're just like, yay, I win money. Oh, look at all those crabs.
Yeah.
They jump.
Those are huge, too.
Yeah.
I'm not sure we could go much further
than
this.
Not. Should we sit on a rock?
Yeah, sure.
One of those big ones?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I love it. I got a hand once in some tournament somewhere, maybe at Commerce. And I mean, I just threw in a bluff, and it wasn't the right time, and the guy called me with aces. I was like, oh, I sure didn't say that right. And I had to draw like a six, non-club six, and then another non-club six on the last two. That was the only way.
Yeah.
And I got each of them.
Did he celebrate it?
No, but he fucking threw his chair down.
Oh.
And I was quietly in my head.
Dickheads like that, like when it...
Yeah, I love going like, shouldn't have played aces, bro.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have fucked up.
When they're doing that, then
just
I like
go here.
It. But, yeah, I get no real satisfaction from it.
Yeah, I'll see that.
Anymore.
You get no satisfaction from it?
I mean, not really. Like, yeah. There's some spots where...
It is, if it's where, tournament, if it, where it's
if
like,
the guy's
sorry.
A big enough asshole,
yeah.
Then you feel a little happy, but... And, of course, you're always happy in the sense that you won the hand.
Yeah.
But not... Like, I have a friend who's awesome. His name's Dan Smith, and he, like, once... Just, like, this guy was being a douchebag at the table, and he, like, wasn't supposed to call.
Yeah.
Who,
Dan? Or this other guy?
The other guy was all in, and Dan wasn't supposed to call the all in, and he tanked forever. He thought about it, and then he finally called, and he puts a bad beat on the guy, and the guy starts going, like, how the fuck can you call there, blah, blah, blah. And he just looks at him, and this kid's, like, a little, like... young guy that's made all the money playing poker. He's like, well, that's the benefit you get from being really rich, is you get to spike call dickheads like you. And like, just for the fun of it.
Yeah, you want to be like, yeah, man, that wasn't a good... We both know it wasn't a good call.
Yeah, I just did it. I just did it to fuck your life over, because it's meaningless.
In the off
me.
Chance that I can fuck your life over, not double your money.
Yeah,
it's the best deal. Like, why would you call that? It's like, you wanted me to call. What are you talking about? You wanted exactly that.
Exactly.
So what are you complaining
about?
Well,
not now that they lost. Now they don't want you to call. It's funny. It's one of the things that I analyze the most about poker and life.
Yeah.
Is the results-oriented thinking. It just, like, that's the first thing you learn.
Yeah.
When you're a poker player, is that you shouldn't be results oriented. So you have aces and you lost, therefore you shouldn't have played aces. Well, that's not the way it works.
Right.
Or even worse is you had seven deuce off and you won, therefore you should always play seven deuce off. Well, in life, people do that all the fucking time and they don't realize like what a giant mistake they're doing. Like, you drink and drive shit-faced.
Yeah, but it's always worked out fine for me.
And you don't kill yourself three times. Therefore, you can always drink and drive.
You're like, that's not enough data points for you to prove that that's a good idea.
And even though it's a minus EV life move.
Yeah.
And
they always act as if, like, well, it's never been a problem for me. And you're like, that's who cares?
Yeah. I could do heroin. There's
nothing to
just
do with
fine.
It.
No, you can't.
Is actually. That a pelican?
Yeah.
Look how deadly a beast they are.
Dude.
That's an intimidating bird.
Around the beach where you're at, there's millions of them. You should take that boat ride later.
To go where? To the
around
point?
Around the arc.
Uh-huh.
Fucking pelicans just diving from up in the sky. Like,
I love it how they can see a fish from 80 yards
yeah,
up. And they just dive straight down and catch one.
They're awesome.
And they're a daunting
sea
name.
Lions there and shit.
I'm happy to be a Pelicans fan.
Yeah.
What did your family say about you when you started getting into it, about the decision?
At first it was just weird. Like, they were like, oh, it's a weird thing he's doing.
Yeah, it's weird.
He's just playing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Were they worried, like, can he do this?
At first, I guess, maybe they were. I was working a shitty job and using my paychecks to play poker. I didn't have to deposit more than one or more than twice at the beginning.
Yeah.
Oh,
right. Because then you got going with the roll?
Yeah, I started a bankroll going. And then, you know, I started reading poker forums and books and DVDs and shit.
Yeah.
And,
I gotta pee.
I'm sure you could pee at any of these rocks.
Probably can, right?
Yeah.
All right, so then what happened?
We'll
finish the appearance, and then I'll pee for a second.
So, yeah, then I made some money, and then I quit school with a $10,000 bankroll, which is not a big bankroll. Like, no. It's just whatever. Like, but to me at the time, it was huge. I was going to make like tons of money with that $10,000. So I quit school and my mom was furious. She stopped talking to me for a while. And
really?
Yeah. And then, you know.
You sure it wasn't just because you couldn't get a calling card? I've never seen calling cards bigger than like location destinations, tourist places.
Yeah.
Wow. And she stopped talking to you. And then how long till she became like okay with it?
Well, then I went back home because I lost my $10,000.
Yeah.
And I couldn't afford to live on my own anymore, so I went back and lived with my mom, and she was just disappointed, like bad. And that night, like that first night, the story's kind of funny. Like, very first night I'm there, I explain her everything. I show her the database. I show her how poker works. She used to kind of be into the stock market, so she got it. She got like the graphs and stuff. And she came out, and I was like, "But I'm dead broke, so who knows what's gonna happen?" She came out and she gave me $5,000 that she had, like her life savings.
Oh, what?
Yeah, because my mom doesn't make much money, and never
for you to
did.
Play with.
And she's like, "Here, like I trust you. You can." Here you go. You could pay me back one day.
Okay, now just stop right there.
Yeah.
Before you go on with it. These are the moments that makes parents and children no longer talk to each other. Like, if it works out a different way, these are the moments that are like, he's a degenerate, he lost all his mom's money.
Yeah.
Where other brothers and sisters go like, we don't talk to
well,
you
Well, I don't
anymore.
Have brothers. And okay. So, yeah, my mom has no option other than okay. other than to love me.
That's a good place to be.
So... She gave me the $5,000, and then I think I had like $500 in my PokerStars account, and the next day was Sundays. Sundays are big.
Yeah.
I won a tournament for $18,000.
Wow.
And then...
Won it. And people don't understand the difference between winning and second place, which
is...
You're talking about 300 people in there, right? Something like that.
Well, in this one, it was an $11 tournament, so for it to pay $18,000, there had to be like more than 2,000 people or something.
So 2,000, and the difference between first and second is 18,000 to like 10,000?
Something like that,
and then
yeah.
It goes to like... Four, and then a bunch of people make like 2,000 each.
Yeah, and I just won it, and I just like immediately. It was like 4 a.m. at my house. I immediately go and give her the money
back. The, here's the 5,000.
Yeah, I just won 18,000. She's like
plus
shocked.
2 pesos on top for your troubles. Get yourself some gum.
Yeah. So, and then Wednesday. So that was on Sunday. Wednesday, I won one for 21,000.
Wow.
And then. Next Sunday, I won one for the same one that I won the week before for 18,000 again.
Yeah.
And then, like,
what a roll!
Like, just all out of nowhere, I win four tournaments. I won one that Monday also. And,
that's right. You're good.
And it was suddenly I just had a big bankroll.
And you could go and play.
And I could play. And I wasn't, like, that good, but that winning those four tournaments made me, like, give me the experience. Because, like, you don't realize how much experience you gain by winning a tournament.
And also being in a tournament at late stages.
Yeah, exactly.
If you, like, turn, like, okay, heads up,
you get
three
that
way.
Experience that you're never getting.
Yeah.
Exactly.
When it matters.
Yeah. So winning four in a row just gave me this giant rush.
I've seen people give up a lot when they get to a final table. They almost feel like, did it, or even when they once they get in the cash, they're like, I did it, and then they just sort of give.
Yep.
They give up, and
yep.
You want to be like, dude, you've won nothing now. You've doubled your money.
Yeah.
But you have a chance to, like,
this is when it really matters.
Yeah, 20 times. Right, it doesn't matter up until now.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what poker books are good that you would think are good to read. I've read the Doyle Brunson one.
Yeah. That's
Mike
a
Carroll
fun book
reads.
To read for historic purposes.
But
now.
It's no longer relevant.
And not really. No.
Okay. And then, well, what are the good books now?
Haven't read a ton of them, but I'd say The Theory of Poker is like the essential book.
Who wrote that?
Matt Sklansky.
Oh, yeah, I think I have that one. I don't think
that
I read
was
it,
like the book that explains game theory and.
Because before game
value,
theory was a whole different thing. It was all about bluffing and being bravado instead of like.
And cheating.
Cheating, yeah.
Like,
instead of
before
like.
Before then, yeah, it was
what's
like, who's the sucker?
The
let's fuck this guy over. Like, that's what it was. Then math came along and kind of revolutionized the game, and then computers came along. They could do like way more complicated math than, you know, David Sklansky could.
Yeah.
And now it's just like a whole different thing, and the thing is we're barely starting, and like we're barely understanding what this is about.
I've heard that the new player, even someone who's played a little bit, but novice, has zero chance online based on all the mathematicians that are playing right now.
Novice?
Like, yeah, you're giving much. Away your money until you're high, high level.
Yeah. I mean, in cash games more so than in tournaments.
Okay.
And it's weird because, again, this is like something the poker community doesn't like you to say.
Oh, right.
Because you're not supposed to scare them away, you know? But it's the truth. Like, yeah, people aren't just going to hop in a cash game and win money. Like, it's not going to happen, at least not in the long run. Tournaments are a different story. You could just get lucky in them.
You can get lucky if your hands, yeah. I really had a problem with playing online because I can't see the chips, I think.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, tournament, another tournament. I play four at once, barely putting my mind to it.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to Commerce to play a tournament, I'm driving down there.
Yeah, you're...
I'm entering. There's no other tournament today.
You're
so once I lose,
involved.
I'm done.
You're too involved to punt it.
Yeah. So I care on every hand.
Yeah.
Instead of like, whatever, or take a phone call and kind of half play. I forgot who I'm even playing. New people coming to the table. I'm just like, I don't even like make notes.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's C3. C3. Like, no, it's not. All right, let's pause this for a second.
I've got a 5-card hand and I don't know how to play. I've got a 5-card hand and I don't know how to play. I need a queen like you to make my hand okay.
The kid drew. All right, good pee. So after you won this $5,000 and gave it back to your mom within a week?
A day. Yeah.
At that point, was she like, all right, that's interesting that you could pay me back
that
fast?
Yeah, at that point, she became a fan. Like, I immediately started, you know, getting recognized within the online poker community.
Fuck.
What?
I'll keep going. I'm glad I stopped it. It's going to run out of batteries in a minute.
Yeah.
You started getting recognized because you won a bunch of tournaments?
Because I started winning a bunch. And that sort of, that recognition kind of validated everything I did in the eyes of my mom and, you know, the rest of my family.
Yeah, it took me to get on TV with a commercial when they were like, what are you doing? You can't be a comedian, which I get. Like, you don't think, like... My son can be a comedian. You just think, like, be a lawyer, doctor, some job, accountant, whatever. Just a job.
Yeah.
That's how people work. They get jobs. And once they saw me on a commercial, like, oh.
But it's funny how, like, TV does that, right?
Yeah. Like, it's got that power.
It's like that ultimate validating thing. It's just, okay, he's on TV. I could tell people he's on TV.
Yeah, right. They're neighbors at synagogue, at shul on Friday or Saturday, they'd be like, oh, I saw your son on a thing. And it was like, they could be proud.
Yeah.
You know? And you're like, it doesn't matter. I just caught a beer at a commercial and goes, oh, Bud Light. Interesting.
And now your boy's with Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's all the same thing. Yeah. Let me think what else to ask you about poker. Well, all right, we have all that up until now. If I lose this last part of the file, I should get more AA batteries. It's a weirdo job.
It is a weirdo job. It's very weirdo. It's an outcast.
You can make your own
job.
Yeah. And you had this thing the same way comics do. You were telling me yesterday about how you see
so
civilians
similar.
And us.
Yeah. We just call them regular people.
Regulars.
Regular people, and then there's us. Like, you know,
that's
regular people
is.
Can't hang. They can't hang with poker players because there's too much degeneracy in one place. Like, when you start gambling on whether or not that crab's going to make it to that
go to that rock or that rock,
or when you like gamble for literally every meal you eat together.
That's how pool players are too.
Yeah,
flip of a coin, $20, flip of a coin, you're like, but there's no odds here, you're just gambling on the sake. It's 50-50.
Yeah,
so there's no advantage.
Yeah, I've seen, like, I saw an 18-year-old once flip a coin for $50,000.
Wow, an 18-year-old.
Yeah, and that's like the sort of thing that you can't erase from your system.
Yeah,
like, you know, you just become that person. You can't... And that's where I was going at when I said... when you were talking about buying people food. Like, when I'm around my regular friends, I just feel like I have to. Not because I'm
making
more...
Have to pay for them?
Yeah. Not because I'm making more money, but just because I know that, like, I don't give... Like, I don't care about that money as much as they do. Like, I don't care about the value of the meal as
there's
much
been
as they
time,
do.
Yeah. There's been times where I've had some money... You know, I'm like, I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
And there's times where I'm like, I'm not doing okay. I'm gonna save, or I'm not gonna pay rent in 3 months. But when I do have money, it's always like, I'd just rather pay for my young comic friends and girls I go on dates with. They're like, oh, you don't have to. I'm always like, well, you're poor, right?
Yeah.
If you're poor, you shouldn't have to pay for it. Like,
then I
have
can
some.
Afford it.
Yes. It's like if you want a Kit Kat, and I have 30 Kit Kats.
Well, that's the way it should be with everything, though. That's the, like, you know...
Yeah, not strangers, but anyone you sort of know. It's like, don't worry, I'll get it.
I see rich people, like, penny-pinching on shit that's actually valuable, or, like, even on tips. Like, how...
Tips.
How could you be rich? How could you be, like, and I don't mean, you know, have a little bit of money. I'm saying have millions of dollars and not tip, like, be stingy on a tip. Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. Because then the way the percentage. World just, like, functions. Just give him 100%. Rogan is a great tipper.
Of course, because he's always a nice guy.
$45, he's always leaving $145. He's always leaving, like, $100. And then you see them go, like, oh, sir, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, when they see it, he doesn't wait around for it. But my favorite was Joey Diaz once. He tips some, like, driver, like, a bunch of money. And the guy's like, oh, thank you. And Joey Diaz just pipes in. And there's more where that came from. Like, it's not even his money. Dana was great. Dana White was one time that Rogan was, like, he always paid. Like, Dana runs Vegas,
yeah,
pretty much.
Course.
And they were all out once. They always go to, like, after parties and stuff. It's just a normal thing, the Zuffa guys. And then he had to leave Dana. And he's like, Rogan, can you do me a favor and just pay for this? I'll pay you back tomorrow. Like, he's never done it before in his life.
Yeah.
He's just like, I just got to go. Everyone's still partying. So he goes, yeah, sure, no problem. Like, this is my boss. He's not going to default.
Yeah.
You know? And he's like, what should I leave as a tip? It was like a $5,000 bill. He goes, should I leave, like, $1,000? And Dana's like, no, $5,000. And he goes, oh, okay. Okay, I can do that. And he goes, the next day, he had a check in his hand for the 10 grand. But he was like, wow, that's a lot of money. All right. Yeah, you can
but
do
that's
that.
The way that's the way it should be. That's the way the world needs to work. You know, if you've got more, give some back.
Yeah, it comes less value to you. And I have Comedy Store tickets that I have all the time. They're worth nothing to me.
Yeah.
They fill up space in my wallet.
Yeah.
They're annoying. But they're worth $20 to someone else.
Exactly.
So just give them that.
Exactly. And, yeah, it's a great thing about poker players. Poker players really do give back a ton.
Yeah.
And they like... Vegas restaurants love us.
Oh,
strippers
yeah,
love us.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Like,
do they degenerate out for strippers, too?
Oh, big time. Back in the day, especially. Like, when money grew on trees, yes. Like, the thing is that UIGA thing was kind of like a cold shower for poker players, where it was like, oh, shit, we shouldn't have
spent all this
money on strippers. Like, what happened?
Yeah.
It was a rude awakening.
I should have spent all this money on strippers. That doesn't go anywhere. There's so many Vegas strippers who have houses, yeah, paid for houses.
Yeah. On my dime, and now the games are tough.
Can I get some of that? Can I stay in the house that I paid for?
Yeah.
No.
Nope.
I don't give a fuck about you.
Yeah.
Here's a new trend for Vegas strippers. Get your number.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
Like, yeah, let's talk later.
No.
And they actually get your number, and they'll see how much more the money they can get later. Maybe
yep.
fuck for cash. Who cares?
Yeah.
It's not over. I'm just not working.
It's funny because you could see
God damn beautiful out here. Yeah,
yeah. You could see the trend in Vegas strippers change when the poker boom ended.
Really?
Like
it had effects,
you go to the
like
Rhino.
The yeah.
You go to the Rhino during the World Series. It's a different thing than it was in 2006. Chicks in 2006 used to go and sit with you at the table. They'd talk. They wouldn't give a fuck because they were making so much money that they could afford to just sit there for an hour and fuck around and know that eventually they're going to get a customer.
Right.
Now it's like you go and they're like, you want to dance? No. You gay?
What? You're like, what?
No. All right, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
And they leave.
It's gotten so packed. Last time I went, I think, was during the tournament and it was like, it was just like, there's no place to stay, like, want to lap dance. Like, where? Against the wall? No, we're not getting a stand-up lap dance.
You got to go private.
Yeah, that's the thing. They said at the Spearmint Rhino, which is like the preeminent strip club in America.
Yeah.
And they were like, we can go to the other room and have more fun. And I always wanted to be like, can you tell me exactly what comes with that? Are we just going to talk and have more fun? Are we going to play cards? What more fun are you talking about than we can have right here?
Yeah.
Are you going to stick my penis in your mouth? Just tell me what comes with that. I always said I could ask McDonald's if they have a number 6. I'll be like, well, what comes with that? What size fries comes with that? And they'll tell you exactly.
Even worse, there's these
not just
places,
like, it's a better meal if you supersize.
If you get drunk enough in Vegas and you know, your taxi driver will see your shit-faced and they'll be like, oh, you want some hookers?
Yeah.
Like, you want to go to a place? And then you'll be like, yeah. So they'll take you to this place where every girl is super hot, and then you pay them money, and they'll be like, "All right, yeah, just you know, I'm worth this. Like, they insinuate you're going to fuck them. And then they'll massage your hand for like an hour. And then once you realize that that's all they're doing, you go, well, I want more than a hand massage. Well, then, you know, it's 200 more for full access.
Once they get you bonered
What's
up.
What's full access?
Yeah.
No. And I knew a guy that they got for, and I'm not saying I knew a guy in the sense that it happened to me. I'm Bones. Not.
Yeah.
But a guy just like went there shit-faced, and he got for like $1,800.
Whoa.
By the stripper that
did he even come?
No. Just kept on giving money to get more access to shit, and then nothing happened.
Wow. Hey, I gotta stop. This is gonna lose it.
Yep.
You want to promote anything before we go?
Nope, not really. I used to have a podcast, but not anymore. So JC Alvarado one on Twitter.
JC Alvarado. You can hear the best Mexican poker players. I don't know. You should do another podcast.
Oh, I will. Eventually, I'll do something cool.
All right. Well, thanks, man. JC Alvarado on Twitter. Awesome. No website.
JC Alvarado one on Twitter.
Okay, JC Alvarado one. Sorry.
Yep.
Was that already taken by the other guy in Mexico?
I guess so. Been Poker on Stars did my account back when they wanted to promote me.
I love taking pictures at the card table of other degens. Like, I'm playing with this asshole and he smells of turkey. Things like that. Just take pictures when they're not looking. Those are the kind of things you should post.
Yep.
All right, man, let's go back. I want to borrow your snorkel and snorkel for a minute.
Awesome.
All right.
Look at that yo-yos. That's the way you do it. Play the guitar on MTV. That ain't working. That's the way you do it. Money for nothing and your chicks for free. Now that ain't working. That's the way you do it. Let me tell you, them guys ain't dumb. Maybe get a blister on your little finger. Maybe get a blister on your thumb.
All right, that's the episode, everybody.
Oh, did you get all of that?
No, I didn't get any of that.
Okay, thank
I didn't
God.
Get any of that.
It sounded horrible.
Well, now that I'm back in LA, I forgot how super hot the girls can be out here. Super fucking hot.
Oh, yeah.
Hot.
They take you out of the moment.
Yeah, that's the episode. Thanks for listening, everyone. I'm me and Edgar got high off Los Angeles weed again, and it fucking, I got me high, dude.
Well, you know,
my tolerance has gone down.
Yeah, and you just smoked three bowls
with someone though. With you
at 8:30 a.m.
in the morning. Yeah,
before you ate or anything, just got off of a flight for 13 hours.
Yeah, I got extra bacon.
At one point in the mid meal, Ari decides that this isn't enough, and he needs. Six slices. Was it six slices?
Six, yes.
Six slices
an order
of bacon.
Was three. So I asked for three extra crispy, three light.
And saved the last one for me. It
yeah.
was great.
That was some of the worst bacon I've ever had, though, in my life. It was flavorless.
No, really?
Yeah, it was really flavorless. You didn't feel that?
Yeah, dude, it was bacon. I was high.
Oh, yeah.
It tasted incredible.
Yeah. So that's the episode, everyone.
See, you're just
don't
used
forget.
To, hey, man, you're just what? Used to kangaroo meat. That's your problem.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what my problem was when I ordered the kangaroo meat? So I get there. They sit me down somewhere, and they're like, oh, here's the menu. And I Googled where to get kangaroo meat in Melbourne.
How like, many places?
There was like 8 or 10. But by the time I went on Sunday, a lot of places were closed. And different places had different kinds. Some were closer. Some were walking distance. This place, like wine and cheese or something like that.
Yeah. Had a good rating.
Yeah. So I get there, and they all say that the kangaroo filet is the thing to get. So cool. I'm going to get it. I have to pretend like I'm looking around because I don't want to be the tourist. You know what I mean? To be like, how's the kangaroo? I came for the kangaroo.
Oh, my God.
Because I can't be that guy, so I just sit there.
So you have to pretend like you're entertaining the rest of the menu?
Yeah. Yeah. And then I start looking at other things.
How
I'm
long
like
do you do that for?
Like 10 minutes.
No.
Yeah.
That's way too long.
Because I saw other things that might be good. And then I was like, no, I'm getting the kangaroo. I'm like, why don't I just order?
Oh, my God. So you went 10 minutes fake deciding.
Fake deciding on stuff.
Only to go with the original decision, which was...
Which I knew I was going to get.
Get the kangaroo.
I don't know why I can't be that guy, like that Chris Farley type of guy that goes, stop right there. I'm here for the kangaroo. I heard it's great. What do you have to say about it?
Hate to be that guy.
Everyone would love that guy, though. Everyone would love that guy. If I was a waiter, I'd be like, this guy's great.
Oh, if you owned it like that,
yeah,
yes, that would be hilarious.
I wouldn't mind a guy
I'm
like
sorry that,
that
I got to be that guy right now, but I need some fucking kangaroo.
Yeah,
I heard a long it's amazing. For this.
Yeah, I walked 15 minutes. Oh, yeah, whatever you wanted to say. Yes, that would be way cooler instead of faking it.
Was that an accident? Accident
right behind us?
Oh, I hope. Oh, that'd be great. Hey, get, let's go just, podcast
the accident.
The ad from the ask the accident.
The rubbernecking. Oh no. No. What did he do though? Did he hit something?
I don't know. There's a lot of that up
he
here.
He drove off.
It's always accidents right here.
Were you here when that girl got drug off?
What?
They threw her out of the car?
Of course not. I would have.
It might have been Allison Dynamite staying here. Somebody was around. I feel like a girl was here.
Oh, so then it must be me.
No, but there was a guy with me too. There was a girl staying with me and a guy walking back from the store with me. We all came back at the same time
and
together.
And you saw some girl get tossed out?
She had just been tossed out. She was running after them with like one shoe off. She was like, like screaming.
But you didn't see her actually fall out the car?
No, the girl did.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Was she all bloody?
Yeah. She was all scratched up and stuff and she'd been crying. She got like thrown out right on the hill there. And the guy drove out, then he came back.
He came back.
Yeah, he like dragged her into the car.
Oh my God.
Yeah. When was that?
Who was this guy?
That was a few years ago.
What love about that guy?
Well, he was my father. He was a tefty man. No, I don't know. He was Mexican.
Okay, that's I knew okay. The race was going to come within the first question.
Dude, it was so weird being in Australia because I'm like, I don't know who do you guys cross the street to get away from? Who are your races here? I counted 8 black people in Melbourne, 9, and 7 in Sydney.
How were they?
Great. They were Africans. They weren't like African Americans.
No way.
Yeah.
And it kind of looks like Africa out there.
Yeah.
I bet they might be
second or third generation, but they were just never made it to America.
Oh, okay.
You know what
so
I mean?
So they speak full Australian English.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Cool. But there's no Mexicans either. Ooh. The Indians are the ones that do their labor.
What?
Yeah, their menial labor. Indians.
American Indians?
No.
Australian Indians.
India. From India.
Oh, from India.
Yeah. They don't do tech support there. They do menial jobs.
Really?
Yeah.
So Australia is kind of booming.
It's weird racially. It's weird.
And you said there's a lot of Asians.
Yeah. I kept trying to change this one joke about Mexicans getting pregnant easily. I kept trying to change it to one of their races.
Yeah.
And it kept not working. And eventually I just settled on Mexican and they all laughed. I'm like, oh, you guys just know about Mexicans, huh? I know they're not.
Does everyone know about Mexicans?
I think so. I feel like maybe from TV they know about them.
Oh. Yeah.
Because they get TV.
Wow. I wonder if that's a thing when they first see Mexicans. Like when Australians are like, oh, there's one right there. Craig. Like,
yeah.
It's like when they see an animal or
there
something.
Is a, there was a there was a Taco Bill. There's some Mexican restaurants.
How dare
Taco
they?
Bills, yeah.
How dare
yeah.
they?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I forgot I was going to say this. A new special's out. Tom Papa has a new special out on Netflix.
How is it?
I don't know, but man, that guy's always good.
Oh yeah. Papa
every time I see that guy, but God, I keep thinking he won't be good because he wears a suit.
Yeah. No.
And I'm like, how could he be with a suit? But he's like a legitimately great, like funny comic.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, and he's in all things comedy too.
Dude, I saw. Russell Peters and him one time.
Yeah.
It was at Pechanga.
Yeah. Oh, you saw them both go up?
Tom Papa.
Before you were a comic?
Get this. No, while I was a comedian. Yeah. Tom Papa was doing the improv there.
Yeah.
And outside, they had built a stadium for Russell Peters. Yeah. So Tom Papa had barely anyone there.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but then Russell Peters... Here he is with the stadium
mobbed.
Yeah. And it was so weird because it was like, you know, it wasn't just comedy fans that from the hotel, like how Tom Papa got him. Like he probably had to do radio or like go through it, like go the actual process again.
Yeah.
You know, these were Russell Peters people.
Yeah.
They were like definitely his fans.
There for that.
Yeah. It's pretty insane.
Weird. It's a tale of two worlds.
They built a stadium. Imagine.
Both guys
as funny as Tom Papa is, had to, there's one weekend where he was in Pechanga that he had just taken the balls that one night where fucking Russell Peters came through
and just like, sorry,
and built a stadium over his show.
Right over.
And it's like one of those things where I don't think Russell Peters knew, you know what I mean? Like that Tom Papa, it wasn't one of those like, watch what I'm about to do. It was like just kind of, you know, Russell Peters has his people, and Tom Papa is one of them great road.
Yeah, but it's funny, but some people get a draw, some people don't sometimes. And that, like we talked about, just winning the lottery. It's like, hey, kudos. You booked a sitcom role. Way to go, man.
Yeah.
You cashed in. But then it's like, you have two really funny comics, and they're both like vastly different audiences.
And you know what? There might be other places on the planet where it'd be the other way around.
Yeah, sure.
You know, it's like somewhere that Russell can't quite fill out a room, Tom Papa can.
You know, that does not exist.
Just trying to be diplomatic.
It did sound like a good thought, but then it was like, oh yeah, there's no place in the world.
But I mean, dude, there might be some pizza place somewhere.
Tom Papa's some not town an Italian comic.
That wherever Tom Papa's shop. From.
Yeah.
He could sell out his local Z pizza.
Yeah.
They have one there.
Where Tom Papa's from. Oh, also, by the way, I added Atlanta right after St. Louis. I think November 22nd and 23rd.
Did you just do that?
At the Punchline, yeah. I just added it a couple days ago.
Wait, this is the outro to the podcast.
The outro, yeah, 22nd, 23rd, 24th, whatever. That's Saturday, Sunday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'll be in Atlanta at the Punchline. And I'm doing a 420 show. What do you think I should do for the 420 show? They wanted to do a third show Saturday. I'm like, no, that's full of drunk idiots. I'd rather just do a 420 show, if anything.
During the day.
Yeah, but then it'll only be my fans that would have come to another show.
Yeah.
It's like, you're just putting up. But I was like, maybe I'll do something different.
Yeah, but it's 420. We'll do something a little different.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe just suggestions.
Maybe do a skeptic tank, a live skeptic tank.
I can't really do that. I don't know anybody there.
Where's it at?
Punchline in Atlanta.
Atlanta?
Yeah, I can't get in depth with somebody.
Why don't you go ask somebody? You don't have to know them.
No, but I can't get in depth with somebody. I could do it with another comic that's there and do like a funny topic, but I can't get like...
Yeah, do that.
Deep in it. But who? Nobody, who? I don't know the comics there.
You'll meet somebody that wants to hang with you on 420. You'll meet... There's some comedian that's down to do that
out
there.
So do a skeptic tank. Like, I have to know something about them. Ugh, now I'm going to get a thousand fucking Twitters from new comics in Atlanta.
When is it?
November 22nd, 23rd, 24th, something like that.
Okay, so you have some time to talk to some of your friends that...
Say, who could I get out there?
Do comedy out there.
Yeah.
See, who do you know out there? Who's going to be out there? Maybe just keep your ear to the ground, and you'll find someone pretty dope that's worth interviewing on a live podcast. That'd be sick,
maybe I'll
bro.
See you at the Laughing Skull that week.
What?
Maybe someone's at the Laughing Skull.
Maybe.
Across town.
Yeah, I mean, dude, it's Atlanta. That's a scene. There is a comedy scene there.
Maybe Margaret Cho will be there. Oh.
Do you think... So? I mean, what makes you think that?
She lives there, like, a lot.
Who?
Margaret Cho.
Really?
She shoots some show. Some, like, E! or TLC show or something.
Dope. I saw her at the Wilco show.
You saw her hanging out?
Yeah.
How'd she look?
Cool.
Yeah, she's
fucking
cool, man.
She looks cool.
Cool, man. She's hot.
Hell yeah. Margaret Cho.
Where was the Wilco? Where did Wilco play?
Verizon Amphitheater.
How'd you get tickets to that? The ex?
No.
Did you give her some dick in exchange?
No, a buddy of mine...
Not that way?
No, I didn't. I haven't talked to her since. I don't think that would work. Like,
hey, it's been a year or two, but I'm looking to give you some dick, and I want tickets to the Verizon Center. I will give you dick. Slide you off some.
I don't think that would work. I could try. I don't even think she works for them anymore. Actually, way crazier than that.
Yeah.
First of all, a buddy of mine gave me $40 to go see it because he saw it.
Gave you $40 to see it?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
He said, dude, you need to see this show.
What do you mean $40 to get the tickets?
Yeah.
Oh.
It wasn't as much as it cost, but like, I'm putting this much
towards your experience.
Towards you. Finding a way in. I had $0. So I used that to get there and figured I'd have like 30
something. Oh, wasn't your mom there too?
Well, that's what, so I get in and as I'm coming in, my mom texts me. She's like, hey, what are you doing tonight? For no reason, text me, ask me what I'm doing. Like, oh, I'm about to go to this this show at Verizon Amphitheater. I'm just trying to find my seat, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's like, I work there. Where are you? Like, I had no idea my mom worked there.
What does she do there?
And it's so far from where she lives, completely far where I live. You know what I mean? That was
when
far.
When did she start working there?
What?
When did she start working there?
Like I think the week before was her first night. She works on the weekends.
Okay.
Just helps people seat, you know?
All right.
So I got front row.
She moved you all the way up?
From the lawn to the front row.
Wow.
And watched My Morning Jacket, Wilco, and Bob Dylan. And I saw Margaret Cho.
They're rocking.
Featuring Margaret Cho.
Oh, she went up, you mean?
No, that would have been great. Oh. Dude, Margaret Cho should have went up. That would have been sick, man. They had like they had so many people go up. Like,
really?
They had so many famous people go
just
up.
Just go up, yeah.
Yeah, dude. It was sick. They had, what's his name? Jackson Brown. Jackson Brown went up. Jackson Brown went up with My Morning Jacket and Wilco.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. And then, what's her name? Nancy Sinatra.
Really?
Went up with Wilco.
She played these boots in Made for Walking?
Yep. Wilco played it while she sang it.
Oh, that's a cool one. What about that song she had for Kill Bill?
She played that too.
Yeah. One Bullet. What is it?
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's something along those lines.
Yeah. I've already chosen the music for this, or I'd use that.
Damn
too.
It! Yeah, know, damn, that's the second time. And the first time we talked about
Arcade Fire.
Arcade Fire. Yeah.
What'd you think of that song?
I loved it.
Yeah,
I can't wait
cool.
to. I can't wait to buy it legally.
Listen to the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited, dude. I fucking love that band, bro.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really excited. I'm like, finally, it's out. I can't believe I'm not going to see them. But I'm seeing Flaming Lips. That'll be great enough.
Yeah, that's fucking
that'll
sick,
be,
dude.
Yeah. I just have to find something for Halloween. Maybe it'll be warm enough. I'll go down to Santa Monica Boulevard.
There you go. How long's that been?
It's been a few years since I've been down there.
Yeah, go see what it's about.
I was planning on being in New York, but...
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a house party. I definitely don't want to do comedy.
How long are you here for?
Till November 1st or 2nd. Till Saturday.
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, till this Saturday.
Yeah. Inside a week.
Oh, so yeah, you would still be.
Yeah. That's on Thursday, I think.
I'm gonna be in La Jolla.
I should have played some spooky music too. I already chose it.
Ah, dude, you fucked up
bad.
Bro.
I should have led with a spooky card game song.
No. You should have had the intro and outro and then decide the music.
And sometimes I do that. Sometimes I don't.
I think that's like it's an easier outside.
I had to
in.
Build it on the plane. I was like, I did something for the plane work, so I already equalized it and made the where it comes up, where it goes down. Yeah,
I hear you.
I quickly downloaded the songs beforehand.
Nice. Okay. So you had to. You can't let that go in vain. I hear you. And you know what? Everyone's going to hear that Arcade Fire song. And what was the other one we were just talking about?
That Nancy Sinatra one from Kill Bill.
Everyone knows what we're talking about, even though we don't know the name of the song.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it would be a sick outro.
Dude, Weed in LA is so much better than everywhere. It's so much. It just makes you feel better.
I know. It's a game changer. Whatever you're going through.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that'll be a good time to wrap it up.
Yep. We're just sitting here in my car in your parking spot.
All the way to the end.
Everyone's driving to work. We're
going home. It's amazing to see what people like
this
do.
All these people are going to work right now. Here we are. I forgot to turn off my engine.
Oh, yeah, that's what he said. The coffee shop you always go to that we got breakfast at.
They thought
you were high. But this is what I figure. They're like, oh, you said it looks bad. I'm all weird. But it's just going to look groggy.
Yeah, well, you did order 6 extra bacons.
Yeah, that's a good point. That doesn't read like groggy.
I mean, I don't know if that's a side effect of marijuana, but
6 extra bacons.
6 extra bacons? Let me see that Maui Wowie bottle. I bet that's on there.
6 extra bacons.
It's one of the side effects.
Yeah, they should have side effects. Bacon is one of the side effects.
Bacon. There's some real shit, like what it does to your eyes, like your vision, like your blood pressure, like stuff like that, and then bacon.
Dude, you ever hang out with Shang Wang?
Never.
I hung out with him in Sydney, and he's great at rolling joints.
Really?
Fast. Yeah.
Precise.
Pretty fast. Doesn't use a dollar bill. Just goes hand. Really packs it down well.
That's an art.
Yeah.
When people can do that.
Yeah, it was fun to watch.
Yeah, it is fun to watch. I think it's also more fun because you know you're going to smoke it.
Oh, yeah, you know you're going to get something out of it. It's like watching somebody really good at wrapping presents.
Right. Yeah. Like, you might just get to open that.
I can't wait to open that. Wrap it up. Put a bow on, too. I'm going to open the fuck out of it. Yeah. All right, everybody. I'll figure out something for Atlanta for that 420 show. Or maybe we'll just get super high and then just do requests. Or maybe a skeptic tank. I'll figure something out. Or just a regular stand-up show. Anyway, that's it, everybody.
Remember what? You pouring the water?
Pouring what water?
Your water. inside where we ate breakfast.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, do you realize how hard we were laughing? I mean, I was laughing hard and loud.
Yeah. When I go in inside, I was like, oh, bacon. I went inside. You're like, don't embarrass me.
The joke was like, just don't embarrass me. Because this is a place I go to all the time.
Yeah.
Like, this is, I go here all the time. I'm always, like, I know the family that owns it, and I just don't want to look high as fuck in front of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one thing that we go in there. We might have been a little sloppy ordering food. You took forever. At one point, you apologized at how long you were taking.
Because she went and got your coffee. She was like, wait. I was like, broke. I'm sorry.
She asked what he wanted. He goes, and then...
She broke off.
And then she broke off and got my coffee, and he goes, oh, I'm sorry. And I'm like, oh, damn it, Ari.
Yeah.
And then we get out, and he's eyeing the more bacon. He wants more bacon. He's starting to say some stupid shit about bacon. I'm like, no, not here.
And on the plane, the whole time I was thinking bacon.
Yeah, so he goes in and orders bacon, and as he goes in, I tell him, please just don't embarrass me. Just whatever you do, find the nicest, most pleasant way to order six, the most unhigh way you could possibly order six extra.
So I'm behind the counter, and I'm.
so he comes back. He comes back and he sits down, and he has a big old cup of water, and he's like, "I embarrassed you." I'm like, did you pour your own water? How did you get that?
I was like, they told me I couldn't be back there, sir.
They told me. So at one point, they're like, hey, he's pouring his own water in the back. At one point, they're like, hey, you can't be back here.
And my answer was, I'm with Matt Edgar.
That's his first response. I'm with Matt Edgar. I don't even think they know my last name.
That guy.
I'm with Matt Edgar and point right at me.
We're on drugs.
Just chowing down my omelet, not even breathing. Like eating like I'm high off my ass.
Losing their respect for you.
Like respect levels going down. Being loud and laugh. Anyways, the point I'm bringing that up is, do you remember how hard we were laughing?
Yeah. Pretty hard.
Mind you, there's like adults, there are grown-ups, like old people up in the morning, and we're high laughing our ass off.
That's a good point.
Our ass off, Ari.
They must
that's
look
why
at
I said we should sit outside, because I felt it coming.
Smart.
I was like, let's go outside.
It was pretty cold. But
it was cold. It was cold, but that would not have worked inside.
It was one
thing that was outside. Because it's still, you could hear what's going on inside. Still no one, I mean, it's hollow.
Remember that winter guy we saw? He was there, fucking. He was a laptop open.
There's a guy, young guy. I think that's why we noticed.
Yeah,
him,
baseball
he's also
cap,
young.
Jewish.
And mind you, we're getting used to being up at this restaurant at 8:30 in the morning. You know what I mean?
What?
We're getting used to being up this early in public.
Oh right.
You know what I mean? Like we're those people also, and we're high as fuck.
Yeah.
We're kind of laughing. You know, doing. Yeah. We're like really laughing, having a good time. We look back and we see this kid. And he has
25, 26.
I'd say mid-20s.
Yeah.
And you know what? He's got his coffee. He's got his fruit, his laptop, his headphones. And he's just, he's got the eye of the tiger.
Yeah, he's there writing. He's like, this is what I do.
He's just working his ass off.
No money yet, but it'll come. But my job is to write. And he's there at 9 a.m. on a Monday.
Yep.
He was there before us. He was there before 9 a.m.
Yeah, he was there before us.
I'm going to be writing all day. What are you doing? Falling behind?
Yeah, which we were.
Yeah, we thought it'd be cool if we could tag a guy like that or get his number and call him every few years. Like, so what are you doing now exactly? Because we had you pegged for a winner.
Yeah, I'm really curious where this guy is going to go in 3 years. 3 years, I want to see where he's at.
Yeah.
And I doubt you it's dialogue.
You doubt me what?
I doubt you it's that cafe we were just at.
Oh, dialogue cafe. Right, yeah. Yeah, it's probably not that.
If he is...
In how many years? How many years did you say?
Three. If I see that guy in 3 years, I'm going to tell him to get his life together.
Like, dude, we were wrong about you.
Yeah, I saw you 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay? And I thought you were going somewhere. You're still playing. What the fuck are you doing?
Come on, man.
What are you
People
even
believed
doing?
In you.
And if he's on Reddit, or if he's just fucking around.
Trying to get chicks all day?
I'm looking at the passion behind the game. His face when he was doing what he was doing. Just
Typing.
Seemed he was in the pocket. On whatever he was doing.
Dude, he was winning.
He was winning. I know he was winning.
Yeah.
And if he's come 3 years, he's still there, and he still has that same look on his face.
My new nickname for him is Winning Cummings.
Winning's Cummings. Winning, the name's taken.
Winning Cummings.
It's taken, bro.
Yeah.
It's Whitney's name. Oh, my God. Somebody told me they heard you and Whitney talking about me on your podcast.
What did we say?
You're talking about me scared that I'm losing my hair. You said something about something about Matt's scared. Matt Edgar's scared that he's losing his hair.
Yeah, in the beginning, he used to be real scared about it, so they would have like other people go up to you randomly.
Oh my God, like, that's why people did that?
Talk, and then like midway through a conversation, they'd be like, what?
Yeah, absolutely. That happened. I never, that's why I was so scared. that was you behind that?
Yeah.
You were the puppet master?
No, I was just the puppet. David Taylor.
Oh, David Taylor.
Yeah.
Oh, that motherfucker. You know what's crazy? I always thought he would. I always thought if I start losing my hair because he's so tall and he's bald, he'll see it first, and of course, he'll say shit loud. You know what I mean? Like, he'll make sure everyone knows. So I've always been waiting for it. But little did I know that he was already working it this entire time. That he was behind that.
Yeah.
It was a fucking conspiracy.
Yeah, I was telling you to take Rogaine or Propecia.
Yeah. I started taking Propecia.
Yeah, wow.
Because I thought I was going bald.
Yeah.
And I stopped.
When you realized you weren't.
Over a year ago, and I still have all my hair.
Are you wearing an Ari Shaffir 94 Lazy Boy Champion?
The baseball Ari cap? Shaffir 94 Lazy Boy Champion.
Did I ever tell you what the Lazy Boy was?
Yeah, and I don't feel like I do it justice when I explain it to people when they ask. Well, how do I explain what this hat means?
It's the Illimiata. we had a thing where me and Avi Schneider and my brother and Ruby Schneider, we had an Olympiata, but they spelled the t-shirts wrong.
What's
the first
Olympiata?
Year.
What's an Olympiata?
It's like an Olympic game, sort of.
Okay.
But they spelled it wrong, so it was just Olympiata.
Okay.
And then, because we challenged each other at putt-putt. Do you have putt-putt?
Yeah, is this just you and your friends?
Yeah, and so we play putt-putt. We play the game. We have to throw the football into the hole. So we quarterback. Ooh. The little baseball.
Yeah.
Not baseball. The basketball shootout. Ski ball. NBA Jam. We would go head to head, and we'd switch up teams.
Yes,
and we'd have a composite score, and it'd be massive every year.
Every year, you guys would do this. How many?
We had like 4 years, probably, and then we put
many,
in.
How many kids?
Four, and then
that's sick.
Yeah,
where's this happen at?
It happened in Maryland.
But like, at what?
And
like,
then we put the person's champion's name on the side of the trophy. Every year, so
you guys
a different
go
person
all
got
out
it.
For this thing, and it's just a thing that you and your friends do.
Yeah, my brother. And Avi Schneider, my Lazy Boy champion. Do you ever see that card, Lazy Boys? The Lazy Boys? Ari Shaffir, Avi Schneider, undefeated.
No, where's
Ari
that?
Ari Shaffir, 6'2". It's in the corner of the map poster. It's in the wall.
Okay.
We used to hand out those business cards in Israel. Because if you play 2-on-2, if NBA Jam, you get a free game.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So the two winners get to go on. And if nobody challenges them, they get one more game against the computer and it's done. But if somebody does step in, winner plays on for free.
Wow.
Winner plays. It's not like the game would be set that way. So we would just dominate and play all day.
Yes.
On a dollar. But or a shekel or two, whatever it was.
And that was your team?
Yeah. Well, me and Avi, we're the Lazy Boys because of the Lazy Boy champions. We made business cards at home. And we would sign them and hand them to people. Late in the game, as we were dominating and running away with it.
Oh, shit.
Like, here you go. Tell people you were beaten by the best.
Nice.
Yeah. I'd be like, Avi, play for a while. I got to get my business card out. And I would just let him play 1-on-2 for a while.
Wow. And this all happened in Israel?
Yeah. And so then we have the Olympiada over summer. Like, first year I got home, then Avi and I both went to Israel. Then we had over summer. Then Avi went to Israel and my brother. We had over summer again. Yeah, we just kept having it over there.
That's sick.
Yeah, it was an all-day affair.
So do you have more hats? You have other years?
No, I did win another champion. There was no hat the first time we won a champion.
Oh, okay.
It was just a trophy.
So I got
it grew.
The one.
We got sponsored by Def Jeff. Did you see the jersey?
I have not seen the jersey.
They're in the bags that are probably still in the closet.
That are going away?
The food, yeah. There's a button-down jersey. His dad sponsored it once. I can't keep all this shit.
Yeah,
I can't.
Right,
I have a sickness, man.
You're about to throw this hat away, dude. I wasn't going to let it happen.
Yeah, it's great. I'm glad you kept it going.
It's great. I mean, you could also wear it, but it's cooler that I wear it.
Yeah, 94. That's almost 20 years ago. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my 19 God. Years ago.
We're coming on 20 years.
Jesus. 20-year anniversary.
I can't
of
wait.
Of my 94
wait.
Lazy Boy Championship.
You know what, Ari? I'll let you wear the hat that day.
Maybe I should contact ESPN to do a 30 for 30 on it.
Oh, that would be a great 30 for 30.
Yeah, you'll let me wear my hat that day? Oh,
yeah,
nice.
You get it, man. You get the hat.
Thanks.
You get the hat, and I don't know. I don't,
you know, I don't know what else.
I don't know what else I want. You
know, you don't get
apartment. There's nothing else I could ask you for. And I get where you live. I guess I already have that, but I'll
hey, you know, you don't get paid for the intros and outros.
No, I know.
Okay, good.
You just bought me breakfast. I'm happy.
Yeah. Awesome.
Awesome, dude.
All right. Well,
Ari's back in Hollywood.
Ari's back. Back again. Oh, that's another song I used for the outro.
God damn it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shapiro, Skeptic Tank, episode 138.
Outro would have cost $1 million.
Yeah, I would have a bunch. Black Friday with JC Alvarado. Over and out to the end.